to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
I've been asked to tell you that the following show is very scary.
It's almost time, kids. The clock is ticking. Be in front of your TV sets for the horror-thon. And remember the big giveaway at 9. Don't miss it. And don't forget to wear your masks. The clock is ticking. It's almost time.
I've been asked to tell you that the following show is very scary.
No idea. Reminding you to stay tuned this Saturday night for Monster Chiller Horror Theater. We got a scary one for you this week, believe me. We have a real good one, one of the scariest movies ever made. This is going to give you goosebumps. On your goosebumps, it's going to be so scary. So why don't we take a look at some scenes from it?
Slinky, the toy from hell.
You see that? That slinky thing? Oh, wasn't that scary? I told you to give you goosebumps with the thing. It's turning right over time after time. Can you believe those things? Eating people up and everything. Be sure to watch this Saturday night. I'm sure you'll have lots of things to scream about. Oh, Saturday night. Monster Killer Horror Theater.
Oh! All right, we need this just one more time.
Yeah. You know, in my opinion, you could have run that for the whole pre-show.
That's how it sounds to me anyway. The show every day in my headphones.
Yeah. That's scary. I'm not kidding.
You know how it's labeled? Eerie.
Eerie. Yeah, sure is.
Our tribute to Erie, Pennsylvania.
Very eerie, too.
And there it's gone.
This is really going to be scary. I'm not kidding you this time.
I'm not kidding you this time.
So.
I was kidding you last time.
How are you anyway?
How are you anyway?
And hello.
Oh, hello there, Mr. Shannon.
Hello, this is Michael Scott Shannon. This year, you will notice that I am dressed as Casey Kasem.
Fantastic, Mr. Shannon. Of course, I'm dressed as a Beverly Hills banker because I'm president of the Commerce Bank of Beverly Hills and personal banker to Granny.
Incidentally, the wardrobe for me, same in real life. Mock turtleneck.
Yes. Uh-huh.
A nice Rockford Styles sports jacket.
Wonderful.
And, of course, Botox, Botox, Botox.
Amen, Mr. Shannon.
I'll be giving away syringes, needles, and kitty-sized samples of Botox to anyone that comes to my New Jersey mansion this weekend.
Nothing like a little face paralyzation to actually enjoy the Halloween weekend.
Hello. I'm Scott Shannon.
And I'm Mill Drysdale, waiting for today's Halloween Groaners.
What do Australian ghosts like to throw?
I have no idea. What do they like to throw?
Boomerangs. Hello. This is Michael Scott Shannon.
And I'm Bill Drysdale.
What dessert is most popular with ghosts? Creme brulee.
Oh, my God.
Hello. What do ghosts cover with a band-aid?
What?
A boo, boo.
Oh, my God.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale.
You wrote in and said, what are the most horrifyingly lame Halloween groaners? Hello.
Hello.
What do grandma ghosts knit for baby ghosts?
Booties.
Okay, you've caught on.
Mm-hmm.
Let me.
It was change. Really tough. There's a pattern here.
But there's one more.
Go for it.
Along those lines, what's the scariest part of a female ghost's body? Her boobies.
Yes.
Hello, I'm still Scott Shannon. Uh-huh. As the numbers get smaller,
uh-huh,
the groaners get bigger.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale.
A lot of groaners.
This week, we're covering Halloween.
Yeah.
We've had boo-boo, boomerang, booties, creme brulee.
This next one's going to be funny. I'm not kidding you this time.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, I'm, Mr. Shannon.
I'm Scott Shannon.
I know you are, Emil Drysdale.
What do ghosts try to do when playing football? They try to cross the ghoul line.
Oh, dear. What's their favorite play?
What?
The bootleg.
You've gone back to the booze.
Yeah.
I've moved past the boo, and now, finally.
Yes?
Hello.
The final Halloween groaner.
I'm Scott Shannon.
Is this the final groaner?
Yes, it is. Oh, come on. I mean, come on.
Yes.
You love this. You pretend. Don't think the banker from California does protest too much.
I love this just as much as I love money.
How's Granny?
Granny is fantastic, I'll tell you. You know something? Why don't you give us another one? Why don't you give us another lovely, lovely groaner?
What do kids in France go out and do on Halloween?
What?
Trick or retreat?
Hey, I love you. Hey, now. I like that one.
Oh,
there was one good one there.
There was one good one. And that's good when you do that.
And there you go. That's the quality groaners.
Oh.
That I know you've been waiting for. Scared kids?
Yeah. I'm not kidding you this time.
Hi, John Kerry.
Oh, hi there.
Hi, Jerry Lewis.
Hello.
Hi, Tony Soprano.
Okay.
Hi, Dynamite. Hi, Burt Reynolds. Hi, Julia Spiewak.
Hello.
Now the people I don't know.
Hello.
Oh, I know you.
Hello.
This is Doubtfire.
Hello.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Indeed, we are. You know, we got to really give up on this door thing, because every day the sound effect machine is killing me here with the... There it is. Oh, and here he is.
Our true story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And his soul torn apart. Your discretion advised.
How have you been?
I think I know the problem with the door card.
What's that?
It's too eerie.
Eerie.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Halloween and all the ships at sea.
Halloween.
They are pop tarts. They are soft in the middle.
I like
Don Geronimo. And night. Oh, yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I've been asked to tell you that the following show is very scary.
Right. Donna Mike show new episode on this. Friday. 1-0-2-9-0-4.
Hi, Donna Mike. Buzz Burbank here. No, he's not retarded.
You know, everybody, Don and Mike show, and here you go. It's Rocktober 29th, 20-04.
Wonderful.
Call us from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636 from Canada, from Mexico, 800-636-1067, Washington, D.C. on WJFK, 202-432-1067. So many things to get to on this very busy Friday show. Mm-hmm. Let's start with Joe, who should be in his costume now.
You commanded him to do that when he came into the studio with it on a hanger.
Well, he was just lollygagging.
Yeah, well, he lollygags a lot. That's a Joe thing, to be able to lollygag.
Nobody does it better.
Joe will be out with his wagon, trick-or-treating for beer.
I got a real red wagon.
Live on today's show. And here he is. Here he is now, dressed as Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
Howdy.
Did the beard come with it?
No, I had to make it.
You made it yourself?
Yeah.
That's a good job, Joe. That's a good Uncle Sam outfit.
It is. It's a nice one, isn't it?
It is.
Who is that courtesy of?
It's you well, Joe. It looks like it was tailor-made for you.
Who's it courtesy of, Joe?
Master's Costume Rentals.
That's
Annandale and I think 9 other locations around the Beltway.
So can't you hear the beard there with Joe when he's trying to talk by the microphone?
And call Wenda in Annandale.
I think really the beard is going to kick him over the top as far as the scary factor.
All right, we're ready. Go get in your car, get the closest neighborhood, phone in during the first break.
Okay.
All right.
That is a great suit.
That's Joe. This
you are now, a great audience.
This is now the fourth year in a row that this Halloween tradition has continued on the show. Started as a throwaway. Joe, go out and with a phone and see if you can get some beer.
Now our listeners have come to expect it.
And it's Joe going to neighborhoods. And what's great is that it's not Halloween today.
No. Which makes it really scary. I'm not kidding you this time.
So that's beyond great. Joe, please call as soon as you get out there.
Yay.
We have to make a call right away. Oh, she is on the telephone. We'll call Joan Lotta back.
We owe
her an apology for something that happened off the air yesterday during the show. It's a cute thing.
Oh.
But we owe her an apology. Hello to my son, who might be listening right now.
Is he back from school?
How you doing, dude? Yeah, he has a 4-day break.
Wow.
This is something that they've actually given the students. He for a change, he's not been kicked out. He's not been suspended.
Right.
His grade point average is good.
Right.
This is what they call a real break.
Wasn't he supposed to panel today?
No.
I thought he was going to come in and sing Purple Rain.
No, we decided against that.
Oh, we got bumped?
Yeah, we decided against that.
That would have been scary. I'm not kidding you this time.
He's got his purple hair, and I mean to tell you, here's the color purple that it is.
Uh-huh.
It is the color of the Minnesota Vikings helmets. That's the purple.
That's a true
that
purple.
It is. It
real,
is
real grape juicy purple.
That's right. It is
Welch's grape juicy purple.
Yeah, it's even a little lighter than Welch's grape juice.
So it makes it a little more fluorescent.
Yeah, it's really purple. I mean, it's not grape. It's purple and it's long.
Is it scary?
And it's scary. And frankly, I don't know which one of them scares me more now, because at least his is his own hair, and you know, hers is the creepy wig.
I sure wish he'd pop in. I'd love to see that dude.
Well, he's busy, Mike. And today we've got a busy show. And
all right.
You know, as I said to him, hey, listen, Cody. You know, I remember back in the day when I wanted to chat with him when we won the Pinewood Derby, when it would be, you know, we went through the period of when he didn't want to be on the show, which was cool, that he wanted to be on. We'd
right.
call in all the time. And if he wants to come by, he can come by. I just want to say, I'm happy because my son's in town for a couple of days.
Sure.
Growing up, he's got purple hair.
Yes.
And
is he going to the game with you on Sunday?
That's to be decided, Mike.
Okay.
See, the problem there would be three tickets. Used to be what we had.
Right.
We now have two tickets. Two tickets, three people. Something tells me that as much as he would like to go to the game with me, the fact that the game starts at 1 o'clock, which means I want to leave the house by 9:30,
won't be up yet.
Not a chance.
Yeah, he's back seeing his pals.
Absolutely not a chance. So it's It's great to see him with his, even with his purple hair.
And, will people at the game be in costume? I'm curious about that. Will they actually be in costume?
Yeah, they encourage people all around the league to come to the games wearing this stuff. I'm going to be wearing all the Packers stuff in the middle of all the Redskins fans, right. so be it. And my wife with the wig will be here Monday.
Yeah.
We're going to be, what are we doing Monday? We're playing a game when Frida is in the studio.
Yes.
We're giving away a trip for two. Now get ready. WWE Survivor Series. We've had a lot of exotic locations.
Oh, where's the spectacular location we're going
to? Well, Mike, we've sent our listeners to Lake Tahoe. We've sent them to Los Angeles.
Right.
We've sent them to Miami. We've sent them to Orlando. We've sent them to Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
This time, it's a trip for the WWE in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
The prayers are answered.
Wonderful. Thank you to the WWE. We'll give that away Monday when we play a game, when my wife, who's also nuts, gets here with her wig.
That'll be great. They can go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or
yep.
the...
Or the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And
maybe go see the stadium where the Indians play.
And then go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
That'll
and
be nice.
See the, see the river that caught on fire.
Let's,
is it still on fire?
I think it might be.
Yeah.
Let's play a fun game.
Moldering. Very good.
This is a fun game. I had to call for service on my television today.
No. Okay.
On DirecTV.
Ah.
Let's see if you can guess
mm-hmm.
the nationality of the local repairman that DirecTV sent over. I did the thing where I called. I can't figure out why I'm not getting the TV in one of the rooms of the house. I'm positive everything's correct. So finally I say, throw my hands up in the air. Guy comes out.
I'm going to guess Indian. And not Native American, I mean... Like Hindu Indian.
Okay. Buzz.
I'll say Pakistani.
Negative. Listeners at home, if you had Chinaman.
Oh.
Hey, Howard, there's your Chinaman.
Wonderful.
That's your winner. That's your winner. And boy, did he have a lecture for me.
Really?
So the guy goes up on the roof.
Had you been doing something wrong?
Well, the guy, first off, the guy didn't like the fact that I even have gotten up on the roof myself.
Well, I think your wife has indicated she doesn't like that idea that you're up there precariously dangling off the roof.
So he goes up on the roof and he looks at the, oh, hi, Joe. I mistakenly thought you had left.
Joe's back.
Hi, Joe. What's he need? Oh, he needs the phone number.
Ah.
He doesn't know the phone
Wouldn't
number
be much
here.
Of a bit if Joe couldn't call in at all without it. No. Good to think of him. Here he is with his top hat.
You know, maybe next year we can give him the number before the show.
I think the best way to do it is if technologically we could get him one of those little implants like they put in pets.
Bye, then.
Everyone, hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe. See you out there.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See ya. There he goes.
Happy 4th of July. No, Joe, it's Halloween.
Oh, and he forgot to say his thing. Weekends here, have a can of beer. We'll have him do it when he's en route.
On location.
To his first house. So the DirecTV guy, nice guy, Japanese guy, gets up on the roof, comes down and says to me, and I swear he's not one of these guys that talks...
There's not a heavy accent.
No, he has the heavy accent.
He does have
He doesn't have the over Americanized.
Which you get sometimes. You
know, hello, how are you doing?
How are you? You seem to have a problem with your antenna.
I mean, he's got
a big grin by the window, incidentally, as Joe went by.
And I want to say, also, he's listening now. He's a listener of the show.
Oh, good.
Okay. So I just want to say hi.
Did he help you? Did he fix you?
First name. Young.
Young.
You pronounce it Young. That's not how you spell it.
No. Right.
But you pronounce it Young. That is his name. Young.
So he could be conceivably named Young Young.
So Young goes up and he comes down and he says, oh, what you do up there? And that's exact. I swear to God, he said, what you do up there? I said, well, what do you mean? He said, you've been touching dish. I said, oh, no.
I have fingerprint kit.
Just the antenna to get the over-the-air signals. No. You touch dish. I know you touch dish. You tell me now, how many times you go up there? How many times you go up there?
How many times you touch dish?
Now, this is before Young tells me what the problem even is.
Mm-hmm.
We're standing in the corner of my by my garage where we climb up on the roof, and he's got his arms folded,
right.
And he's saying, "You got to." In essence, he wants to know what I've done.
Yeah.
Up on your roof, you in serious trouble.
So he says, "How many times?" I said, since I've been on this kick, I don't, maybe 30 times.
Mm-hmm.
He says, no, first off, you cannot go back on roof. I said, why? He said, when you go up there and you move thing around,
uh-huh.
He said, you have these on your house for 13 years. Same original dish. It worked fine until you go up there. Now you go up there, you rip out cable. You not even know that you're ripping out cable for dish because...
So you ripped out cable?
I don't even know what he's talking about.
Okay.
So I said, would there be any way that we could climb up on the roof together and you could show me what I've done? And then he said, no, you cannot go on roof.
Very
now...
good.
Now, I'm thinking to myself, okay, listen, Mr. Miyaguchi, listen, as soon as, you know, wipe on, wipe off, as soon as you leave, it's my house, I'm going to be up on the friggin' roof.
Uh-huh.
So he said, I will not go on roof with you. I do not think you should go on roof.
Right.
And then we went inside and sat at the kitchen table, and he actually drew me a picture of exactly what the setup is on my roof with the dish.
Oh, good.
And he said, now... what I think is, when you go up there, do you kind of straddle so you are able to stand? Because there's a little, it's hard to explain the roof, but it's got a raised area.
Yeah, and there's got to be room for the cardboard moon cutout.
So where you can actually straddle this thing. It's
right.
About 2 feet wide, and you're actually like riding a bucking bronco, but you can actually sit and adjust the antenna. He said, many times when you go up there and you sit there, you move antenna to right to try to get better picture.
Uh-huh.
It's funny. He said, there's no polite way to say this. When you move antenna, your body, mainly this part of your body,
uh-huh.
is now pointing to my ass, and if anywhere from my lower back to my ass, have push against arm that is holding dish.
Yes.
He said, that's why I ask you how many times you go up there, because what I think happened is by about the 20th time you go up there
uh-huh.
and you get in this position and you push the dish further and further away, now you break the cable.
Oh, really?
Now you break the cable.
So you broke the cable without even knowing it.
That's why you not get anything. That's why it say...
Did you admit to breaking the cable?
Well, yeah, I would admit if he would let me go up and see the cable that I broke.
Can't go up there anymore.
You don't come on roof no more.
I know it's my fault. I know it's totally my fault. You know, I'm climbing up there all the time like Harry Homeowner, only because I'm so freaking inept at doing anything in my house.
Uh-huh.
And finally,
you know your TV system, though, because when you explain it to me, I can't even figure it out.
Because finally,
sure what
I know what to do.
Uh-huh.
So here's what we ended up doing.
Yeah.
He had walkie-talkies. He said, I go back on roof.
Ah.
Now, you tell me, to walkie-talkie, what picture we get it.
Oh, okay.
So, he's now up there. Now, keep in mind, I still need a new dish because I've broken something on this.
Well, you broke a cable.
Bent on this other thing. But it only affects one of the TVs in the house. I'm not sure how this works. But anyway, most things...
And what's one out of 70?
most things are pretty good.
Right.
And I'm finding that I'm getting into a real good... rhythm with this guy.
Excellent.
Because he's going right for me. He goes, okay, 4-1. And I go, 4-1, and it's coming. And I go, Roger. And he goes, Roger that. And then we also have these skylights in our roof of our family room.
Right.
At one point, we were down to the final channel, channel 26, which is a tough one to pull in. And he's up on the roof, and he says, okay, now we try... 26-2. And I turned to 26-2, and I'm getting a perfect picture.
Yeah.
And I said, I got a perfect picture. It's real good. Young? I'm pressing the walkie-talkie. Young?
Uh-huh.
And I hear from above. I'm not kidding. And it sounds like this, okay? It's like...
like he's banging on the roof trying to get your attention?
No. I look over. He's crawled over. And he's actually looking at me through the
skylight.
The skylight.
Hello.
And he says, I can actually see the picture from here.
Or was it like, I can see the picture from here.
No, yeah, no, but he's talking to me on the walkie-talkie.
Oh, that's right.
Even though I'm looking at him, and I said, now I'm talking back into the walkie-talkie. What are you doing there?
I climbed over here because I could hear it go beep, beep, beep. Because when you run these tones on the TV, he could hear the TV beeping. You know what? It struck me, and it was that point I said to him, don't you think it's dangerous that you have crawled from the area where the dish is all the way over here to the other side of the house? And he said, no, that's why I'm up here, and you are down there.
Right.
So
my name is a Spider-Man.
Anyway, he's incredible. He came down, and he caught a fly with some chopsticks.
Wow, that's cool. And then placed a marble in his hand.
And
tried to get you to snatch it away.
Anyway, his name is Young, and he could not have been nicer. He got everything working as...
Young first or last name?
First name Young, right. Last name something like
Guy.
I'll butcher it. No, it was like something out of Chinese. I mean, really, it was like Chung Fu, Chung Fu noodles number 3 with peanuts. General Chow.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know what the name is, but
yeah.
Anyway, I wanted to thank him. He was a nice guy.
Oh,
and,
that's great.
Told me he'd be back next week.
Did you tell him when he's finished yesterday? Did you tell him where this morning? You go now, no trouble.
He's funny, though. He's leaving, and I'm signing the paper, saying, come back on Tuesday, and I've authorized all the work.
Right.
And he says, now, very important, you do not get up on roof this weekend. He says, it's funny, the guy listens to the show. He says, I have you all set. Now, all your high-def games... You're going to get every single high-def game.
Uh-huh.
Don't touch it. Don't touch it.
So you're going to stay off the roof now?
Yeah, well, I have to stay off the roof.
Yeah.
He told me.
You've been ordered.
He told me, and, who knows, maybe he's just screwed me, and he's a listener of the show. He knows what I'm going to say. He says, I have put ways on the roof to find out if you go up there. So you must, and he did talk in that Mr. Miyagi way. He said, you must trust Young. That I will fix the TV. He said, I know how important football and TV is to you.
Uh-huh.
Let me do this for you.
I will leave
a matchstick up on roof. You go upstairs, you knock down matchsticks.
Yeah, right.
I know you have been there.
Huh? Right now, this is what I'm thinking.
He has ways.
I have special tripwire.
Yeah, but this is what I want. The thing's up on the roof. Now, what if, God forbid, what if a windstorm comes this weekend, and then Young is going to come to my house on Tuesday. First thing he's going to say, you went up on roof.
The windstorm won't break the matchstick.
It was not firmly attached to a house because of constant walking by owner.
I have seen you go up on roof. I see broken chummy noodles.
Oh, broken, yes, I did.
Anyway, he will come on the show at some point.
Oh,
he's promised to come on the show.
Great.
He's a little shy. I did ask his permission. His name is something like Young Chow Fat.
Young Chow Reba.
That could be. That could be his name.
Like Young Chow Fat, but it's not like P-H-A-T or F-A-T.
Oh, really?
It's a weird, a weird spelling.
Maybe P-H-E-T.
Anyway, he could not.
Fat, yes.
He could not have been nicer or been any more help.
Could be Vietnamese or Thai, maybe?
Buzz. Yeah, come on. All the same.
Who are you talking to? Come on.
All the same. Like I would have a way to tell.
I'm just trying to narrow it down from Chinaman.
Any idea where, what's the good one again? China? Japan? No, he's Japanese. He is Japanese.
Never forget, Don.
Yeah, and what am I saying?
Mm-hmm.
They're both bad. They're both bad.
Now he won't come on the show.
Sure he will.
No, you don't mean that.
He's funny. He gets it.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, the last thing he asked me to do was sing the Clementine song for him.
Did he really?
Yeah, I swear to God he did.
You can't sing that unless the two of us come along and we Rob and I are over there with you.
Right now he's listening to the show using the second audio program.
That's right.
He's a button, SAP.
Now, any idea where Joan... Joan Lotta is,
that's still on the phone.
Is her extension, Buzz, would you check your master sheet? Is her extension, is her phone number 890? Do you have Joan Lotta
there? Yes, it is, and yes, it is.
890. Well, what the hell is she doing?
You know what? You could call Gomez.
Well, what's her number?
465.
Go, Gomez?
Yeah. Lady.
They're talking to each other.
Oh, God.
That would be silly. They share an office.
All right, well, we're not going to be able to call her. Remember Jayla? She's a nice lady that works here in the bowels of the radio station with Robbie Gomez. She's a lady that we gave 30 pounds of cheese to. And one day we had a wine party for them back there just because they work. And like, nobody pays attention to it. And they do all the work at the station.
I was giving my buddy a tour of the radio station and went back and saw those two hardworking ladies back there.
So we have this thing. I've got it bad. That whenever I see Joan Latta, I scream very loudly.
I hate it when you guys do that. I've never told you that, but I hate it when you do that.
Really?
I hate it when you scream, Latta!
Jayla!
I don't know where it comes from.
Jayla!
And what happens is, and now that he knows that I hate it, he's going to do it even more.
No, no, no.
But the thing is,
Jayla?
Yes?
It's become Latta.
Jayla!
There it is.
Yeah. Hey, Latta!
Hey, gentlemen.
How does Latta feel about it?
How do I feel about what?
About Joan, you'll notice...
It's a term of endearment. It really is.
Joan, over the years when you come into the studio, you notice I'm the only one that doesn't scream at you. Right?
Yeah.
And I was always wondering how it's a term of endearment, but how do you feel about the having your name screamed?
Oh, it makes me feel very special.
There it is. I knew she'd like it. I knew she'd like it.
Right. Jayla! And I mean, I do it outside this. If Joan is in the outer office,
parking
and I see Joan
anywhere.
In the parking lot.
And that's why I see her. When I see her in the hallway, I go, hello, Joanie.
So, here's what happened yesterday. We have to apologize to Joan. She's walking through the radio station Thursday afternoon, late in the week. And she comes in the studio, and immediately, both Rob and I...
Rob more than you, and Rob did it as Latta. I don't think you said Jayla. What did you say?
No, I think I did say Jayla. I might have just screamed Latta.
So anyway, I was behind
Latta.
Her saying it.
It's just, Latta! Latta!
Latta! That's what he did yesterday.
And all of a sudden, we hear a kid crying. And Joan's got a granddaughter in, wants to bring her granddaughter in.
She opens the door. She comes in first. The guys don't see that she's got her granddaughter in tow. And Rob, can you duplicate what you did when you...
Latta!
You've never seen a child more terrified.
Yeah, I feel so bad, Joan. I mean, father of a 2-year-old myself.
Yeah, I mean, you're the...
We apologize to that child, and we would like to officially pay for, I don't know how many more years of Pampers that the delightful girl will need.
And after the Pampers, I encourage you to expense all analysts that come your way, because... Because
she was scared yesterday.
Yeah, and there was no one doing it. Mm-hmm. I felt so bad.
She tried to come along, but come around after that, but she was still nervous.
Yeah. She hates me now.
Is she okay now, Joan?
Oh, she's fine. She's fine. She was waving as we were leaving, and she was going, loud, loud, Grandma, loud.
Loud.
Yeah.
And Grandma, will she, like you, be raised as a Red Sox fan?
Oh, absolutely.
There you go. Very good.
All right. Thank you, Jayla.
You're welcome.
Sorry about scaring the child yesterday.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Our best to Gomez.
Bye-bye.
At some point in the opening segments of this show, I have to ask you a question about my new house and my new neighborhood that I'm moving into, because I have a question.
Go.
I just want to ask you if you think I should be concerned.
Why?
At the end of the closing for my house today, where I signed all the papers and the former owner transferred the ownership over to me, and it's usually a very exciting and a very happy time, and the guy could not be nicer. Absolutely terrific guy. Good. As you know, I'm kind of moving towards an in-town location instead of out in the boonies. And in passing, he's had a van that he's been getting all his stuff moved out in. And I noticed either yesterday or today, I noticed that the window was broken. And as we're sitting there, this is the last thing before...
Window of his van or window of the house?
Window of his van. Uh-huh. And as the very last thing with he and his realtor that's sitting across from me. And I said, okay, this is great. We'll see you guys. Hey, what happened to the van? And I said, the window was shot out. The window was shot out, and then they took a shot at my other car, too. And I'm just, curious that I should be concerned about that.
I would think that's...
Maybe an omen?
Scared?
It's going to be really scary. I'm not kidding you now.
That's a good sign, I think, Mike.
For welcoming.
How
about that?
I think that's a good luck sign.
Yeah,
it's
fantastic.
Good luck.
Good news. Wonderful.
There's nothing you want more to hear than that. The guy you just bought the house from. Hey, sorry about your windshield. Yeah, well, they
got shot out.
a timely reminder to keep up that comprehensive paper.
Yes, sir. Well, they said BB gun, but, I'm thinking maybe larger caliber.
A BB gun? Busting a window out? Yeah, that's one hell of a BB. A .45 caliber BB.
I told you don't move.
I'm so happy.
I told you don't move into that gang neighborhood.
I know.
The hood. There you go. White shadow.
Yes.
There you go. Doing it again. Don, Ken Howard.
Don, I'm going to make some changes. I'm going to do some good. I'm going to make a difference.
Give back.
But think of all the benefits there are living in
the
South.
What was the awful Joe Pesci movie where Joe Pesci was a landlord, and because he was such an ass, they made him go live in one of his awful rent control piece of crap apartments?
I know
apartments.
What you're talking about. That is a very obscure film. I think it was in the theaters for half an hour.
I know. But
very, very obscure.
I'm a very obscure man.
And it was, Joe Pesci's second facelift. After his second facelift.
Charlie M. liked it a lot.
Charlie M.?
Charlie M. liked it.
You made me shoot out your window for Charlie M.?
Well, here we are, almost done with the first segment, and here's a surprise.
What?
We've not heard from Joe yet.
Yeah, well, that's a shocker, isn't it? It really is.
When we come back from the break...
Sure we will.
Hopefully we'll hear from Joe. Now, can he hear us now? Is he listening?
Well, I'm sure he can hear us.
Do you have a radio?
Do we have his phone number?
We do.
Ah. Would you pass that along, please?
No, I'm not going to worry about these windows or things being shot out. Because frankly, Don, I'm very happy to have finally moved out of the hotel. After 2 long years.
You're going to miss the towels and the room service.
That's right.
No room service.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to hate that. I'm working on negotiating it with like a nanny. An adult nanny.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah.
Someone to change me.
Here's Joe. He'd work.
Yeah. Have Joe come over. Joe and Tracy.
Hey, happy birthday.
Hey, baby.
Borders.
Yeah, hello.
Hello, Joe.
Howdy.
Howdy. Are you back? We got to hit a break here, but are you going to be ready when we come back?
Yep, I'm all set.
Okay, beautiful. You in a neighborhood, residential neighborhood?
Yep.
Got your cooler?
Yep.
Is it raining?
No.
Beautiful.
Did we wake you?
Talk to you soon.
I was eating lunch.
Oh, shocker.
Good, of course. All right, we'll call you in the next set.
What were you eating?
Barbecue chicken.
It's the best, isn't it?
Joe.
All right, well, then we'll check back. We'll check back in with you, Tom. I mean, Joe.
All right.
All right, bye, Joe.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Even he had to laugh.
Yeah.
You called him Joe. Or called him Tom.
Same thing.
Hello.
Can't break up the routine.
John. Don and Mike show. John. Oh, we got time for one call. We got a break.
Mr. Mike?
Yes, sir.
I wanted to, I'm sorry to hear about the guy who had his window shut up, but I wanted to welcome you to Georgetown South.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to it. I'm very excited about
I think it's wonderful that what Mike has said is...
You know, this caller probably knows where I'm from, and actually that is funnier for me than it is for anybody else.
Oh.
Because I know exactly the neighborhood he's talking
when
about.
When you start that recreation center, though, everything will be different.
It's going to be good. I'm going to make a difference.
That's here nice. Is Kelly in Norfolk, Virginia, who knows the name of the movie. Kelly.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing great.
The Super. I'm sorry to say that.
The Super. Correct. An awful movie.
And it made me think of another movie. What was the movie where Michael Keaton moves into the house in San Francisco? Where Matthew Modine and his wife have just bought a new house.
It's a two-word title to the movie.
Very obscure.
No.
Not that obscure. It was a pretty successful movie.
Right, and Michael Keaton refuses to leave, and they keep trying to evict him.
They rent an apartment downstairs. They own the building. They live upstairs, and he won't leave. And he, like, he nails the door shut.
Don't know.
Oh, I know. It's Mr. Mom.
Anyway, Kelly, thank you, my friend.
You got to take care.
See you later.
Bye. No, it was Disorderlies.
I think it was Clifford.
Clifford. You really do love Clifford.
Yeah.
Clifford's a funny movie, man.
Clifford is the most unfunny movie ever made.
Clifford's funny.
You like Clifford just because of Martin Short.
And Charles Grodin, but yeah, mainly because of Martin Short.
Clifford.
Wears the knee socks.
I never made the connection, that he's supposed to be, a 5-year-old boy or something like that.
And dig this, like the chairs that he sits in, they're all oversized.
Yeah, I know.
As if to make
him look smaller.
Make him appear smaller.
Clifford.
Genius.
Pacific Heights was the Michael Keaton.
Pacific Heights. Landlord. Thank you, Buzz.
Hey, Matt, you got that?
Yep,
Buzz, it just beat it to you. They just beat you to it. Just
satisfying, isn't it, Buzz?
It sure is.
All right, thank you, Matt.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, dude, thank you. Everybody, hold on. Joe will be trick-or-treating for beer when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Captain has to tell you that the following show is very scary, with stuff that might give your kids nightmares. You see, there are some crybabies out there, religious types mostly, who might be offended. If you are one of them, I advise you to turn off your set now. Come on, I dare you. Chicken! Hey!
Homer, did you just call everyone chicken?
No, I swear on this Bible.
That's not a Bible, that's a book of carpet samples.
Ooh, fuzzy.
The Don and Mike Show.
The gods of air and wind, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Here we go, it's our big pre-Halloween show.
I put a spell on you.
Hi, George. Want to mention, the Giants will be on later today for the NFL segment, which is brought to us by Tower Records at Tower.com. Nobody has a bigger selection of music and movies you love than Tower.
Yeah, this is good music here.
Man Joe.
Stop the things you
is out
do.
In a residential area now. He's wearing an Uncle Sam suit.
I love
it. He's got a little wagon behind him.
A little red wagon.
He's going to be trick-or-treating for beer.
Hey.
Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Hola. Where Hola. Are you? Where are you as far as time away from the station? How many minutes
How far?
Did it take you?
About five.
Okay, so you're in one of the nice middle-income residential areas, all the nice houses?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
All right, maybe you're going to get some beer this time.
But good luck as we start the fourth annual Joe Ardinger Trick or Treats for Beer.
Yay.
And remember, I think the first time we didn't even send you out in a costume.
No. Right.
He's on Joe-cation.
Here we go.
Joe.
Coming up to the door.
And what kind of house is this you're approaching, Joe?
It's a townhouse.
Townhouse.
No decorations. Uh-huh. But it's got a car in front of it. But what should I say?
What? Doug, trick or beer.
Oh.
No, trick or treat for beer.
I'm Joe Ardinger from the Don and Mike Show.
Right. I'm Joe from the Don and Mike Show. Trick or treat, can I have a beer?
That was it. That was the dialogue
that
we agreed upon
Thank
last
you, Rob.
Year.
Agreed upon verbiage.
Hi, I'm Joe from the Don and Mike Show. Trick or treat, can I have a beer? You don't have any beer? How about some wine? I'm trick-or-treating for beer today, sir.
Ask for some Q-tips.
Any Band-Aids?
Band-Aids?
Toilet paper?
Or some toilet paper?
What's he doing, Joe?
He's looking at my cooler. He's smiling. He's laughing.
Oh, good.
He can't figure me out.
Yeah, how about a wine cooler?
How about a wine cooler?
No,
how about some Polydent?
Might be an older gentleman.
Yes.
Ask him if he... Ask him...
What did he say, Joe?
He asked me what I needed.
Tell him that you have to have something from him.
I have to take something back.
Is there a beer in the house?
Is there any beer in the house? No beer in the house.
Any alcoholic any beverages
liquor?
At all?
Any alcoholic beverages at all? No alcohol at all.
Ask him about. Ask him if you could have four or five aspirin.
How about four or five aspirin?
Aspirin.
Okay, he's going to go get some aspirin.
That's very good.
All right, that's a good
that's
start.
That's good. That's a great start.
That's a good start for your basket this year.
Four or five
aspirins.
If you ever
perhaps
get,
they'll have some hydrocodone in them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Farms are your life.
Oh, here he comes.
They're better with beer.
I don't need the whole bottle.
It's a good mix.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Is he giving you
Happy
the whole
Halloween
bottle?
From the Don and Mike Show.
He gave you the whole bottle?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. That's pretty good.
What is it about Halloween where people are always so nice to Joe?
Joe, what is the brand name on those aspirins?
They are Safeway brand micro-coated aspirin.
Oh, micro-coated. Joe, did you get enough sleep last night?
Yes, I did. Right. I've been battling this cold, and it seems to be coming back on me.
What is micro-coated, Buzz?
It's just so that it doesn't dissolve too quickly and irritate your stomach.
And when you leave the show today, are you going directly to the set of the movie Shall We Dance?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Buzz is wearing his headlight white shirt today.
I'm on the Bob Fosse tour.
That is the whitest shirt I've ever seen in my life.
It's funny you should say that. It's actually yellowish or cream colored.
Oh, cream. Maybe that's why it's looking so bright.
You know,
perhaps.
No matter what Duff and McBride says, perhaps you could take a tip from me.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've noticed, but all week, every day, I've worn a different, attractive Green Bay Packers sweater.
Yeah, today you're wearing your favorite Packers sweater.
Only I had
my Lucky Packers sweater.
But your favorite, too, right?
Yeah. If only if only you had my fashion sense.
Are you wearing a Packer turtleneck, too?
Yes. And Packer socks.
How about Packer pants?
These are green Dockers.
Oh, okay, but they're not Packers.
They're not official Packer pants. No, as much as
where are you off to, Joe?
Like to get
nobody home at this house.
All right, let's keep it moving now. Are we going to get the sound of you walking down the street with a wagon towing behind, or do we need the sound of bottles and cans in the wagon?
It's actually a cooler, isn't it?
Yes, a cooler.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's a cooler.
Wheeling cooler.
But it's a cooler on wheels.
Yeah. I got a real red cooler.
So, what house are you stepping up to now, Joe?
Well, it's a house.
More of the same? Are they all the same or different?
Yeah, they're all pretty much the same.
Pretty much.
You look like anybody's at home here?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I'm going to the ones with cars in front of
them. Very good, Joe.
There you go. That's using the old noodle.
Yeah, as opposed to the ones that don't have cars in the driveway.
Hope we hear them on the phone this time, too.
Joe?
Yes?
What are you doing right now?
I'm waiting for someone to answer the door.
Okay, see, I didn't know that you'd even...
Phone's not picking up any sound.
Rang the bell.
Anyone stirring?
Rung the bell.
Oh, listen. It's got a knocker.
Ooh. There you go. You know, see, Joe?
Radio.
See, that's a big help to us. Now we can all picture you actually knocking.
And you can really feel the excitement.
Sure can.
That's scary, huh?
Nobody's
scary.
There.
I'm not kidding
nobody
you this
here.
Time.
Nobody there. Okay, good. Let's go to the next house.
You want to be scared? Wait till the next house. I'm not kidding you this time.
Keep going. Now, does this look like a neighborhood that is at least filled with people who have a chance of being at home?
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
it appears to be an active, busy neighborhood.
Any of these?
I've actually seen some people leave their houses, you know, further down and stuff. So there's, yes, people live in these houses.
Okay.
Any Halloween decorations?
Oh, but there he is knocking at another door.
Mm-hmm.
At least we heard it that time.
This could be scary. Huh?
Oh! And, wow. Wow, 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 wow.
Yeah, we're not having a lot of luck this time.
Yeah. I guess nobody's home from work yet.
Okay.
All right, go to the next house.
All right, let me try another.
This is really moving slow. I'm not kidding you this time.
He's dressed as Uncle Sam.
He's dressed as Uncle Sam. He took his beard off, though, that he did. He spent a lot of time making.
That's too bad.
Pieces of it on the floor.
You know, maybe you could even ask for, like canned food.
Well, now, Don, I don't think we have to change the nature of it. It's just getting the human beings that would help.
Start with beer.
It's not what he's asking for that's slowing this down. It's the lack of residents being in their domiciles.
Okay, so let's just hope it's a person.
Beer, I believe, might have even been your original idea, and there's nothing quite like it.
That's right.
Especially when it gets another... I think when it gets hard liquor.
Yeah.
Where are you at now?
I'm at a house with a Kerry Edwards sticker in the window.
All right, good people they are, then. Have you knocked on the door?
Yes. Yes, I have.
This could be scary. I'm not kidding you this time.
Could we hear you knock on the door?
Hold on. I'll do it again.
Okay. Thank you.
Ring the bell.
None of these folks have bells?
No. Just all knockers.
All knockers.
Look at them knockers.
Everywhere you look. Sounds like a great neighborhood.
As far as the eye can see, knockers.
Now, are you going from townhouse to townhouse?
Yeah.
Okay, see, I had pictured you in a residential neighborhood where you would actually go from single-family house to single-family house.
Well, we could do that next time. This is just easier when they're not home.
You can hit more houses, I guess.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just the one with the delayed reaction time. Seems to me that we've been doing this for about an hour now.
Joe, does it look like anyone's home in the neighborhood at all?
I keep going by houses with dark windows, but they have cars in front of them and stuff.
But I guess the dark windows would indicate maybe nobody's home.
Okay, what townhouse are you in front of now?
I'm in front of a white townhouse cars in front.
Dark two windows,
cars. Two cars. He's wearing his Uncle Sam suit. He's trick-or-treating for beer. There, we heard him knock on the door.
This could be scary. I'm not kidding you this time.
Come on, Joe.
Huh? Yeah. Hi, happy Halloween from the Don and Mike Show. Trick-or-treat, can I have a beer?
Of course you
can.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yay.
That's the work. There you go.
There's the magic.
There's some Halloween magic for you.
That is wonderful.
Now we'll get to hear what type of beer.
Here he comes.
Huh?
Oh, beautiful. Miller Lite.
Ah, that's your beer, guy.
Halloween from the Don and Mike Show. A Miller Lite in a bottle.
Hey, Joe, that sounded like a friendly customer right there.
Yeah, he was a young guy.
All right, put it in your little wagon.
I got it.
And let's roll on to the next house now.
Roll on.
Because now you're on a roll, Joe.
I'm in front of the next house, and it's got two cars in front of
it. Oh, you're going to get some beer here. I'm not kidding you this time.
Huh?
Huh?
Oh!
Scared, kids?
Scared.
This is really scary.
Have you knocked yet?
Yeah, I have. Oh, here we go.
Okay.
Happy Halloween from the Don and Mike Show. Trick or treat, can I have a beer?
Sounds good.
Can I have a beer? Okay, great.
Are you getting a beer?
Well, he's staring at me. He needs to go get one.
Yeah, and Joe, and I think you should throw in the fact.
No, I'm trick-or-treating for beer.
You mentioned your name. You're a major celebrity.
Yeah. Well, my name's Joe Arndinger from the Don Mike Show.
Oh,
and
you're the legendary Joe.
Legendary.
The kids don't give their candy back. They get more from houses. He said I should give him the beer.
The guy at the door wanted a beer from Joe.
Oh.
Is he getting you a beer?
Yes.
Very good.
All right, good.
Jesus.
It's the magic of Joe trick-or-treating for beer.
Yeah. There's nothing more fun.
Sure is a buzz.
He's spot on today.
We're going to be back on that shirt of yours in just about 10 seconds. He doesn't come back with a beer.
Here we go.
What do you got, Joey?
Oh, okay, thank you. All right, thanks. What? Happy Halloween from the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what did you get, Joe?
He said he was out of beer, so he gave me some 2% reduced fat milk.
Very good.
Okay, that is another winner. If you're keeping track, Jono has a bottle of aspirin, a bottle of beer.
Uh-huh.
Miller Lite.
And Miller Lite, you got your plug-in. And this guy just gave you...
Milk, 2%.
2% milk.
Yeah, a little carton of Shenandoah's Pride, 2% reduced fat milk.
Has anybody asked about your costume or commented on your crazy Uncle Sam costume?
Well, they just kind of stare at me, but no, they haven't said anything.
Huh. Just like Joe's high school ranking, 2%.
Was it a full carton, Joe?
Yeah, it's one of those small ones like the kids get in school.
Very good.
Oh, a half pint. That's good.
All right. So you're up to another house. Here we go.
There, this now.
One, thank you, Joe. That's how you do it.
This house has decorations and pumpkins and everything.
Excellent.
And a car in front of it.
Right, maybe you'll get the mother load here.
Maybe.
And a woman behind the door with a double-barreled shotgun.
Come on.
Now it's
come
a bit.
Come on, Joe. Come on,
that's
Joe.
A great bit.
And no answer?
No answer.
Kill him!
That is a popular seasonal sketch.
It sure is.
All right, go to one more place, Joe.
All right.
Okay.
This next one's going to be great. I'm not kidding you this time. Kid. Scary.
This is one of the scariest bits.
Joe,
Here we go. Somebody's got to be home at this one.
Why do they have to be home here?
Because their door is open and the screen door is closed.
Very good.
All right.
There's no answer going in.
Is that a sniffle, Joe?
And there's a kitty cat. And there's a doorbell. You can't hear it, but I can hear it.
There's a kitty cat.
And a doorbell.
Hey, kitty cat. Hey, Tracy, baby.
Hey, maybe somebody will give him the cat.
Somebody's calling me.
What, on your cell phone?
Yeah.
All right, ignore it.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure it's a job offer.
Well, yeah, go ahead. Pick it up. If you can if you can multitask, if you can talk on the...
Right.
If you can talk on the phone and still do the trick-or-treat thing.
And...
Oh, but hold on.
Well, yeah, because...
I just realized if he's going
to
go
get
the other call,
hold.
He had to put...
Hi, happy Halloween. I'm Joe Arndinger from the Don and Mike Show. Trick-or-treat. Can I have a beer? Okay.
Sure.
Aren't
people wonderful?
Sure.
Two beers.
Sure.
And everybody's got beer.
You know what it is after 4 years, he's built some goodwill.
People are actually stocking it now by the door.
We had to ramp him up, though, because he had to know what his spiel was.
All right.
It's been a year
for this seasonal sketch.
Joe?
Yeah.
You didn't go to answer the other call, and thank you for not doing that, because I just realized if you had done that.
Happy Halloween from the Don and Mike Show.
What'd you get, Joe?
A Heineken.
Oh, better.
Wow. Bottle?
Yeah.
A bottle of Heineken.
That means there are now two clinking bottles in the wagon.
Yeah.
That's right. I have to be careful if one doesn't break. Hold on.
Of course you do.
Okay.
Can we
all
hear
right.
it? Let's hear you pulling your wagon.
Cooler.
Cooler wagon. Cooler on wheels.
Great.
Joe?
Yeah?
I seem to recall in previous years it sounded like you were walking over cobblestones.
And we could hear the wheels.
And it seemed that you had thousands of bottles.
Rattling and clanking.
Well, that was that old cooler that was the station cooler. I don't know what happened to it. This one's kind of softer and smaller.
Oh, it's a soft cooler. It is all a right. soft
Okay,
side.
Listen. Yeah. We're up on a break. I'll give you another...
Wait.
What?
One more house.
Try this one.
He wants to get this one in.
It's got decorations and a car in front of it.
Yes, okay. One more house. Skinny.
All right. Skinny.
Always promising.
Come on, Joe.
Come on, residents.
You're the one who addresses those.
Come on, Ed.
Come on, residents.
Come on, resident.
Happy Halloween.
And nothing.
Doesn't look like it.
Know what you should do? Go to the bathroom in the front yard.
No.
That would be a trick.
No.
That would be a trick.
I'm being a bad boy. I'm not kidding you this time.
I'm kidding, of course. Joe, might I ask that...
what's
the
that red, white, and blue man doing?
The next time... Go USA! The next time we speak, if there is a next time, be in another neighborhood. Be in a neighborhood that maybe isn't townhomes.
A scarier neighborhood.
But single family homes.
An energetic neighborhood.
Get to a scary neighborhood. I'm not kidding you this time. All right, we'll try it again. We'll try it again. We got some people to talk to here, but we'll come back to you in the next break, because I'm not giving up on you, Joe.
Okay, I know a decent neighborhood that's kind of middle class white trash.
Good, maybe next year you can go there first. Joe?
Perhaps.
We can check back with you.
Yeah, we'll call you back. Head on over there now.
All right, Will.
All right, thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Tom, Joe.
Okay, bye. Oh, Joe, sign off, please.
The weekend.
Hey, don't you remember we used to do that to him all the time?
That's fantastic.
I wasn't looking to cut off his weekend sign on.
No, not at all.
But we used to love doing that.
That's right. Well, he misinterpreted what you wanted.
Oh, we did. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, how's it going? Is Joe over towards Fairfax City or the other direction?
Who knows?
We don't know. Really.
Okay. Who knows? You know, it's only the fourth year in a row that we've done this thing. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Probably the easiest neighborhood to find. That's where he'd be. A block from here.
Although, you know... Boy, I hate standing up for Joe, but there's
Joe.
There's always the chance that no one's going to be home.
Oh, this time of day, yeah. There the odds are probably overwhelming.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi, I'm on my way home. I want to give Joe a beer.
Oh, everybody does. Well,
if you see a red, white, and blue man walking around your neighborhood, you know, you'll know that it's Joe. Flag him down.
All right, everybody's calling.
You'll have fun with that. I'm not kidding you this time.
Hello. Don and Mike show, hello.
Hi, this is Terry. What's up?
How are you anyway?
Terry, are you calling about Joe?
Yeah, he needs to get more beer. This isn't going too good.
Oh, well, I disagree. I think he's doing very well at the houses where he gets somebody to come to the door.
I think if you're keeping track now, Joe has two bottles of beer,
yeah.
One bottle of aspirin,
yeah, and milk.
And some milk.
Right.
So he's doing okay.
Have him drink a couple.
Okay.
Thanks for the help.
Any other thoughts? Any other thoughts you got on the show?
Nope.
Thought not.
Nothing else?
Nothing else. Have a good day.
Good day to you, sir.
Thanks,
sir.
He was a nice one.
Very helpful, really. Very helpful, I
Hello there, Don and Mike's show.
I want to run Joe over. I've got a truck here.
Okay, everybody's behind Joe on this bit today.
Was that somebody who said they wanted to run Joe over?
Yes, they did. They wanted to run him over.
Oh, that was kill the bit.
Joe will find a better neighborhood.
I'm not kidding you this time.
Isn't that what we're all looking for, really, a
yeah,
better neighborhood?
A better neighborhood.
But we come right
this
back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I got a scary one for you this week, believe me. We have a real good one. One of the scariest movies ever made. This is going to give you goosebumps. On your goosebumps. It's going to be so scary. So why don't we take a look at some scenes from it.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Everybody who loved Warren Zevon,
yeah.
Get ready to vomit.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand.
Adam Sandler.
Walking through the streets of Soho in the rain.
And I like Adam Sandler. Just to cover. Uh-huh. Because it's Halloween.
Gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein.
And he's just so scary good.
Anyway, don't be hating the Don and Mike Show.
It's my man, the water boy.
Yeah. What a talent. I still like the original.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's a toss-up for me, Buzz.
I understand.
Toss-up. Okay, stand by for Joe. Joe has to wait a second. Let's see. Joe, you in a neighborhood?
Yep.
All right, we've got a guest here. We'll get right back to you.
Okay.
Hold on, please. Oh, let me ask all of you, even all of you guys here in the studio.
Yes.
Are you feeling super terrific happy today?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Maybe you remember that last week on the show, as an extra surprise, I had a super terrific happy Friday Japanese alarm clock that we used during the phone scam.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that. That was great.
We have today, because it's still another week.
Yes.
Another super terrific happy Japanese alarm clock.
Yay.
This one better than the one we had last week.
Impossible.
Fantastic.
Impossible.
Better than the one.
I am looking forward to that.
And do it. Good morning.
Good morning.
But you gotta wait for the phone scam. Now, Erection Day's Tuesday. We don't want to forget about that. You know, we've not really gotten heavy into the political stuff. You know where we stand. We're a comedy show. But it's just days before the election now.
Yeah. Probably the most important election in my adult life.
Anyone. So now let's bring on two ladies running a website, bushrelativesforkerry.com.
Huh.
That's right. Both of these ladies, Sheila House and Hillary House, are cousins of George W. Bush.
That's pretty amazing that they've actually got a website. I was done.
Here they are now, Sheila and Hillary. Hello, ladies.
Hello there.
Hi there. Thank you for joining us. The website, bushrelativesforkerry.com. Love this. We invite you to read our stories, and please don't vote for our cousin.
That's amazing.
Great.
The first question I would have to ask both of you, have you ever been in the inner circle or close to the inner circle or part of the Bush family, either when George Sr. was in the office or when George Jr. was in office?
Well, I don't really know. This is Hillary. I don't really know what the inner circle is. But
what I'm saying that is, like, if you were, like, invited to the inaugural, to any of the festivities, have you ever been close to George W. Bush?
Well, I went to the inauguration of Bush 41 because I was living in D.C. at the time.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And that's as close as I'll ever get.
But so you are, not only are you in the loop in that regard, you are in the DNA loop. You are Bush relatives.
I think it's important to point out the this one paragraph here, this, because we should explain exactly what the relation is. Prescott Bush, the father of George Herbert Walker Bush, the former president and the grandfather of W. Prescott Bush had a sister,
Mary Bush,
and she married Francis E. House, and you guys are the House daughters, right?
Yeah, grandchildren. Yeah.
Grandchildren.
So
right.
Now that you've explained that, we can officially say that these ladies
are related.
They are cousins.
Here we are.
They are cousins of George Bush. Ladies, we certainly have our reasons, but we'll give you a moment here. Tell us why you're urging America not to vote for your cousin, George Bush.
Sheila, you want to take that?
Well, I'll take it. The first part of it, you can, like, wrap it up if you want, but just on so many levels, domestically and internationally, we sort of feel that the country's gone into a hole in the past 4 years.
Has the entire family always felt this way about him?
I'm not sure about if every single one of, you know, our cousins feels the same way. I know that we have, you know, aunts, uncles that might be voting for him, but just the ones on the website we know aren't, and we've heard from, God, about 30 different people that we didn't even know we were related to who mm-hmm. said that they're also voting for Kerry.
Now, have you heard from any Bush relatives who are voting for Bush
who might be upset that you're doing?
Giving you a hard time?
No, we haven't heard a peep from anybody along those lines.
Yeah, and the thing about our family is that even if you know, there's a Democrat or a Republican, everybody has enormous respect for speaking your mind about things, which is very cool, I think.
And I'd like to know from both of you ladies, incidentally, relatives of George Bush's cousins not voting for him.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you not only voting for John Kerry, but why are you as Bush's actual Bush relatives, mm-hmm. why are you, Sheila and Hillary, working for John Kerry?
Well, I wouldn't say we're working for him. We're certainly supporting.
I mean, volunteering, you know, doing what you can.
Obviously, when you come out with a website that has Bush relatives for Kerry, you feel very strongly about
it. I don't mean you're working, like, officially for him, but
for him.
You're getting a grassroots thing together for his for his campaign. What are you doing on the website? How many people do you think you're really affecting who will take the time to say, hey, you know, these ladies are related to this guy, and even they can't get his vote?
One thing I can say is that one of the main purposes of doing the website was to get people to just really be talking about this election, about politics in this country, and the overwhelming message that we've gotten, which has just been extremely wonderful, is that people don't feel like they have a voice, so they'll come on and they'll say, thank you for doing this, but it's really not about us. They go on and tell their stories. We've gotten emails from people all over the world. We've gotten emails from soldiers in Iraq, from families who have lost kids over there and in 9/11.
Yeah, hey, no offense here, but you ever get bummed out how many people just really think your cousin is an ass? I mean, you ever stop to just think, because, I mean, on some level he's related to you. It's like, geez, I mean, I know he's the president and everything, but God, what an ass.
But obviously you're far enough away from it that you've managed.
Yeah, we're not hurting any feelings doing this, that's for sure.
I mean, it sounds like you're far enough removed, cousins, that you know, you're not having to deal with Thanksgiving being uptight or anything
right,
like
exactly.
that.
Right, exactly. I used to, you know, keep it really quiet that I was related to the president because I was frankly, you know, pretty embarrassed about it. But as the campaign went on, I realized, you know, I've got this connection and we all have this thing in common that we're related to him and we're voting for Kerry. So it's time to sort of step forward and say, hey, this guy's not me. We may share DNA, we may, you know, belong to the same family tree, but this is where we stand, and we'd like to share that with
you. Now, my question would be, have either one of you in the past ever done anything similar? We obviously had another election with George W. Bush against Al Gore. We had a governor's race down in Texas. Have you either one of you ever gotten out in front this much in another political season?
No, for me, I didn't get involved the last time around because, honestly, I really didn't think he had a chance of winning. And boy, was I wrong on that.
If only we'd known.
and so, you know, and like I said, I used to keep it really quiet. And desperate times call for desperate measures.
Right.
So that's
all right, ladies.
One of the reasons we've really come out this time.
And neither one of you are profiting from this in any way, are you?
I wish.
Like, I think America will profit.
Exactly.
Come next Tuesday. So, all right, ladies, thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you, guys.
Let's go out and vote.
The website is BushRelativesForKerry.com. This is Sheila House, Hillary House. They're cousins of George Bush.
Yeah, and so it says Bush Relatives for Kerry. Are there any other relatives that you would include? Could you give us, like, a rough number of how many Bush relatives for Kerry there are? Just an estimate, ladies?
Well, on the website, I think there's seven, but there's quite a few more.
All right, very good.
All right, thank you, girls.
Congratulations.
All right,
bye, honey.
Bye-bye.
There you go. There's Sheila and Hillary.
That was cool.
Our continuing coverage of the erection.
Hey, if Maria Shriver can marry Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think that we can have Bush relatives for Kerry.
Sure. And I love the fact we went all out on our election coverage music.
I love this year's music.
Yeah, well, thanks.
And the graphics are nice, too.
I always thought
you have to have that patriotic thing at the beginning of it, though.
Joe?
Yeah.
Here he is now, right on time.
Yes.
As we continue with the nonstop entertainment on the Don and Mike Show.
Our election coverage continues.
Here is Joe Ardinger, scary Joe Ardinger, who is wearing his Uncle Sam costume. As we do the show live here in D.C., it's almost 4:30 on the Friday afternoon before Halloween. It's not that dumb fall back thing yet, so it's still light outside.
That'll happen over the weekend, though.
And yes. Joe is in front of a home where he's going to continue trick-or-treating for beer. You ready, Joe?
Yes, I am.
And this time, instead of townhomes, you're in front of single-family homes.
These are real houses, and I know that some people are home.
All right.
And so, and I think this one's definitely got some people in it.
All right, we're loving the excitement now. Joe is actually walking door to door. He's got a cooler on wheels behind him like a little red wagon.
Usually about this time, it's when the police cruiser comes through the neighborhood.
All right, I pushed the doorbell. I can't hear it, so we'll just see what happens here.
Let's see what happens.
Here we go.
Happy Halloween from the Don and Mike Show. I'm Joe. Trick or treat. Got any beer?
He's doing his part right. Joe, we can't hear the other people.
They're laughing at me. They're still inside.
Uh-huh.
Hi. Trick or treat for beer.
Oh, God. You know, the script changes every time with
him. Chuck. Yes. I like trick or treat for beer.
You got any beer? Can I have some?
Tell them who
I'm
you
Joe
are.
The Don and Mike Show, trick or treating for beer.
There you go. Thanks, Joe.
Hold on.
All right.
Okay, hold on. You know what? Once again, sweet doughy-headed Joe.
Yeah.
He is winning them over with his stoner charm.
I think the Uncle Sam outfit is helping a lot today. Yeah. I really do.
He thinks fine.
Are they talking to you, Joe?
Yeah.
Oh, what are they asking you?
What brand?
What brand?
What brand of beer you want? Nice to have a choice.
What brand? What's happening right now, Joe?
Here we go. He's got me a beer. Oh, looky there. It's a Schlitz Malt Liquor.
Wonderful.
Schlitz Malt Liquor.
Thanks, guys. Happy Halloween from the Don and Mike Show.
Get the jackpot.
Doing well.
All right, off to the next
round. Lately, I've noticed you don't listen to a single word people say. So my reply to your question is, I think you're the world's biggest jackass, and I look forward to your death.
Now, I'm sorry, we're getting some CB interference in there.
Sorry about that.
You know what Joe said that you don't hear much?
What?
Looky there.
Looky there.
All right, here we go.
All right, now you're on a roll now, Joe.
Yeah, try describing what you're doing, maybe, Joe.
Yes.
I'm walking up to the door, Mike.
Very good, Joe. Now I'm enjoying myself.
Ringing the doorbell.
That's good.
Still wearing the crazy Uncle Sam outfit.
Absolutely.
All right.
This house has decorations and a barking dog.
See how much better this is with Joe filling in the blanks.
You know why he's
here we go.
He's like the Vin Scully now.
Yes.
He's painting the picture for us.
Happy Halloween from the Don and Mike Show. My name is Joe. Trick or treat for beer?
How many?
You don't have any beer.
She said,
how about wine?
Or cooking sherry.
How about wine cooler?
Ask them if they have a nice Merlot.
You have a nice Merlot? How about some whiskey?
Yeah. Yeah, boy.
If not, ask for some peanut butter.
Or a challenging Zinfandel.
How about some peanut butter?
A jar.
Oh, that's fine.
Is it open?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been great.
An open jar of peanut butter.
Wanted to know if that'd be okay. And even if it's been opened and used a little bit, if they give him the whole jar,
It's
just keeping his string alive.
That's a win.
Because remember, he didn't just get three or four aspirin.
He got the entire bottle.
The bottle.
The bottle of aspirin.
That the peanut butter has some jelly in it.
Great. Thank you.
All right.
Happy Halloween from the Don and Mike Show.
All right, Joe, you got time for one more house. What was the brand there?
Skippy, of course.
Did you get the whole jar, Joe?
No, it's a big jar.
And how much has been used?
I believe I don't know.
I didn't look in it.
My question, ladies and gentlemen, if you were following up, was did you get the whole jar? And the answer was no, it's a big jar.
Oh, I thought you said a little jar.
Oh, it doesn't matter, Joe?
Well, it's my cell phone.
Joe, how much do you think is in this jar of peanut butter?
Well, let me just look.
Is it half full or half empty?
You know, because I'm curious to see. Open it up. I'd like to know how much the people used.
Hold on.
How many ounces is the jar?
Oh, Rob, stop with the hard questions.
That'll be on the label.
Is it smooth or chunky?
I know. Everybody, too many questions now.
But will he find it?
Two-thirds.
Two-thirds gone.
Smooth or crunchy?
Two-thirds full. Creamy peanut butter.
Creamy.
And it's,
Do there appear to be any leavings in the jar?
No, no crumbs, no jelly leavings.
Thank you. And a 40-ounce jar, that's a big tub of peanut butter.
That is pretty big. Yeah.
All right, one more house, Joe. Let's see if you can hit the mother load on this one.
I've got 26 and a half ounces left in the jar.
Peanut butter will be good to wash down with milk.
Especially with that August 3rd expiration date.
So he's now got aspirin, three bottles of beer, peanut butter,
milk. You know what that means?
What?
He can survive on a desert island.
It's also the same as his shopping list.
And the contents of his stomach.
All right, I just rang the doorbell.
Okay, here we go.
Here.
Good description.
Come on, Joe.
Ring that bell.
I feel good about this one.
There's
got to be somebody home because the screen, you know, the door is open.
Screen door is open.
I feel good about all of them.
An invitation for
that. And, of course, the screen door is open and
you
nobody comes to the door.
Walk in.
Go on in.
Yeah, there we go.
Now there is a police cruiser.
Happy Halloween from the Don and Mike Show. I'm Joe Ardinger. Trick or treat for beer. You got a beer?
Yeah, we can do
another
bit.
All right.
Yeah. Another, yeah. You can't argue with the charm.
He's got this bit.
I love this bit because he always gets stuff.
Yep. Yeah. Even though he does everything wrong.
Anything else, any other holiday, it wouldn't work. There's something about Joe and Halloween that works.
That's right.
Well, let's see what Halloween.
Let's see what kind of beer, and then we'll round out his total and get it back here.
You like Halloween, right, Joe?
Yes, I do.
All right. Right, this is great.
Oh, wonderful.
And what do you got?
Thank you. Happy Halloween from the Don and Mike Show.
What do you get, Joe?
What do you get, Joey?
This is a very good one. It's a Yingling Lager.
Top
notch.
Lager, malt liquor.
Are we going to be doing more, Don? Mike, we're running out of time.
Oh, no.
Running out of time. I mean, granted, this has been the greatest / longest 30 to 40 minutes of my life. We do have the girl that was kicked off The Apprentice that we want to talk to. Joe, come on back. What's your haul for 2004?
Starting off with a Miller Lite, a bottle of micro-coated aspirin from Safeway, a Heineken in a bottle, a can of Schlitz malt liquor, a carton of 2% reduced fat milk, two-thirds full jar of, 40-ounce jar of creamy peanut butter from Skippy, and Yingling traditional lager.
That is a great haul.
That's great. You know what that
job.
Is? That's a great haul, Joe.
Sure is.
And I know that you know, because you emailed me, and please never do that again. Joe emailed me earlier today, you know, hey, you know, it probably worked better later in the show. Because it's dark and people are home. But later in the show, Buzz, I tell you this.
What?
You were one that was saying, come on, more of this later.
Oh, I love this.
Would you like to donate your news time?
Not today.
Not today. Not today. All right. Joe, come on back. Job well done.
Roger.
Okay.
Roger Wilco.
Donnie out.
Seacrest out.
And hold on, Joe, before you go, I only hung up on you before because I used to hang up on you all the time. That was the thing. We'd say, give us the sign off.
Right.
But now I won't hang up this time. If you'll please give us the weekend is here, have a beer thing.
The weekend is here.
I had to. You're an idiot.
I had no choice, really.
I had to. We'll have him say it again. When was that, Bob Barker? You're an idiot.
Oh, that was one of the best ever.
TV's Bob Barker.
Yeah.
You're an idiot.
People are so generous.
Joe. Right. And Joe. Nice job, Joe, and thank you to all those nice people. Yeah. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I wish we were really big, like Dylan and Stones.
What do you mean big? We're as big as anyone. We have a hit show on CBS. Why can't you see that?
The Don and Mike Show. 98% perfect, all of the time. The Don and Mike Show.
Bad kids?
Daddy, this is going to be really
steady. Let's see. Okay, Nancy O'Dell is here. We'll talk to her now.
Yay.
Also, another 5 minutes of fame for Elizabeth from The Apprentice is coming up in this break.
Fair enough. Very good.
That man tells me that this was the craziest apprentice ever. So we'll have the girl that was fired last night before the boardroom, whatever that means. And of course, since we don't watch this show, you guys got to call in and ask this girl questions. For 5 minutes of fame coming up now, though. Access Hollywood, here is Nancy O'Dell. Hey, Nancy, how have you been?
How have you been?
Have you seen the commercials for your own show where they're touting the fact that you and Billy Bush, you have fun?
We do have fun.
I've seen that.
We actually do have a ton of fun. I must say that we just got back from the set of The OC, where we are doing a show from tonight, and Billy and I were just laughing the entire time. It's quite the crack up.
Yeah, you have, and also, I've mentioned this to you before, and on behalf of every man on this show.
Uh-huh.
Thank God that you're there. It's not just him.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you're good and all that other stuff, but thank God it's not just him.
Thank you.
And we, of course, we're speaking from the purely male standpoint.
On
we
tonight.
We have fun. And the other thing we try and say is that we don't take ourselves too seriously. You know, it's all about Hollywood and
right.
having fun and them promoting their movies and talking about what they're doing in their own lives. And, you know, let's never take it too seriously.
Not
it's
a
fun.
Bad gig, man. Not a bad gig at all.
You got to work. It's not a bad job to have, except for all the travel.
Now,
yeah, that's right.
Let's get to it, because I love this. Tonight on Access Hollywood, first deal, I love you're going to go right on Bill O'Reilly. You're going to go right on top of him. You're going to say, hey, what's the deal?
Because I know everybody's wondering, that's read this news story about this settlement. Everybody wants to know, really, what is the deal?
He's pulling a Michael Jackson here. He truly is.
Is the thing going to vanish? Is the story literally going to go away?
Yes. Find out.
It is.
Nancy?
It's done. I mean, the settlement is done. It's over with. And so they have a confidentiality agreement, so neither side can talk about it anymore. And suppose there was a settlement, and there's so much speculation about how much Andrew Macris will get, O'Reilly filed with the countersuit. So, you really don't know what happened.
Well, here's the one thing I wondered about this. It's done between the parties, between Bill O'Reilly and this woman who sued him. But
right.
is it going to be done on a corporate level? Because the fact of the matter is, I think every major corporation in America now, especially media companies, they have sexual harassment policies. And I know here at Viacom, it's huge.
He had to sign the same one that we had to sign for Westwood One.
Right. We have to sit in a room and watch a videotape and the whole nine yards. And I'm wondering whether after the dust settles, at least legally for Bill O'Reilly, whether something might come down the road, but probably not, because he's a cash cow for Fox and, for some of the other things that he does.
Well, he demanded that the tapes to be shown. And then after that, the tapes that she said she was claiming that she had tapes of him talking dirty to her.
Babe.
And, he demanded that she see those tapes, and then all of a sudden, they're settling now.
So I don't think
he necessarily comes out looking all that bad,
No, I think he comes out looking awful.
Yeah.
I don't think
he comes out looking nearly as bad as he would if this thing
wasn't going
to vanish.
That was my point. I'm not saying that he didn't come out looking bad. Anytime that anybody's accused of something, it's going to damage you somewhat. But the fact is, if they had gone to trial, it would have probably damaged,
Well, the thing though that makes him appear guilty in this is he came out originally saying, this is awful, I'm going to countersue, this could ruin my career, this woman is nuts. What it finally gets down to is she obviously has the tapes of him doing this, which is why he's paying, and it's left to our
imagination.
It's left to our imagination as to what she might have on him.
But if anybody is going to label her as being a money grubber, that she kind of plays into that too.
Mm-hmm.
But you also look at the other side when somebody is in the public figure, and you go, even him going through the whole process, not everybody's going to hear all the truth that comes out of the story every single day. They're not just going to keep up with the case every single day. So he knows that it would damage his career too. So, you just don't know. That's why both parties signed confidentiality agreements.
Do you think, one more question on this, Nancy, do you think in the end, with this going the way it's going, that he is damaged and he will he be able to bounce back from this, or is he going to be damaged permanently and at least be knocked down a peg, for a long time?
I think, as I said, anytime anybody accuses somebody of something, I think it probably has damaged him a little bit, but I think that a lot of it will come out in how his company does support him and see what Fox does with him after this. Maybe they're investigating if there was any truth to it.
Mm-hmm. And
the thing that would be bad is if there is no truth to it, then that he would get the damage from
There has to be. Obviously, there's truth to it.
We don't know. We don't even know if there was. A settlement.
So why
we don't know what it is.
Why would he pay, though? I read the settlement.
Or has he paid?
I read the settlement was $2 million.
Or more.
Yeah, or more.
But nobody knows because it's sealed.
No, they're throwing around tons of, millions of dollars.
All right, next item.
The word what?
We got to move on here now. You're going to be, what are you doing? You're not going to be on the show the beginning part of next week with us because you're going to be, what are you doing with Laura Bush,
campaign? We're in New York. Already did an interview with her, and we were using different portions of it throughout the week because we're tying in. There's so much is related now to the election. There's so much that is related to the election that is Hollywood. All the celebrities that are coming out in support of the different candidates. Did you guys see Mel Gibson on Good Morning America?
Yeah, he's nuts.
I heard about him.
Let me just say he's nuts. I think
oh
Arnold's
my
nuts.
God.
They're all nuts.
He's just absolutely somebody obviously twinged a nerve on when asked him about the presidency. He just called them, do you see him? He called them both lemons.
Yes.
He said, but when God gives you lemons, you have to try and make lemonade. And he goes, so just whichever lemon wins, I'm going to squeeze them for all it's worth.
And what about, I know you're going to have... I know you're going to have Bruce Springsteen on with Kerry. Don't you think it's a mistake that possibly Kerry's going to bring Ben Affleck out with him?
You know, we had a whole thing on the show yesterday and took a poll from our viewers. Do you think it helps or hurts to have celebrities on your side? And I think a lot of it depends on which celebrities they are. I mean, like yesterday they showed on the Kerry Cam, Tara Reid and Ashton Kutcher and... You know, some of the different celebrities
you wonder. Hey, hold on. Nancy, stop for a second. I saw that last night. Ashton Kutcher does not help because he looks right into the camera and he says, I voted for Bush last time. I got punked.
No, Kerry doesn't
really
need
don't
that.
I don't think it was a help, his soundbite.
I tell you, who is a help, though, is Bruce Springsteen and seeing some video of that. I mean, that was pretty incredible what they did in Wisconsin, really, with, 80,000 people there?
Yeah,
it was amazing.
And you hope what happens with celebrities, because celebrities, the thing that they do, just like we're talking about it right now, is they draw a lot of attention to what they're doing. So you hope at least... by them getting involved. A lot of people make fun of them for getting involved and, you know, make fun of the candidates for having them out. But at least they draw attention to the election and they draw attention to some of the issues and hopefully it'll get more people out in the vote. You know, that's what you hope happens in the end.
You just said celebrity doo-doo. Listen, we gotta go. Let me just mention that also tonight on Access Hollywood, I got something pretty interesting about, let me just promo this, Saturday Night Live, 60 Minutes happened to be doing a feature on Saturday Night Live last weekend. 60 Minutes has tape, and I know you'll have this on your show tonight.
We do have it on our show tonight.
During the rehearsal, Ashley Simpson walked off stage just like she did during the show.
Uh-huh.
So she was complaining about problems with her voice.
Yeah, but remember how Rob said he thought that this whole thing was a setup?
Mm-hmm. You never know.
All right, listen, we got to go. We'll talk to you.
The timing is everything. 60 Minutes got the good footage.
Yep. We'll talk to you right after the election.
All right, guys.
All right, Nancy.
Okay.
Goodbye. Goodbye, honey. There she is.
You are.
Nancy Yodel.
Thank you, honey.
From Access, Accent Hollywood.
That's right.
Pleased to be watching that show here in D.C. on NBC4 at 7:30. Yes, working hard for you.
Oh, they sure are.
And around the country, check your local listings. She will not be as crazy once the election is over. And, you know, that's the point that Nancy Yodel was kind of making, which is true. She won't say this on the air. Don't you think it's kind of ridiculous that, like, Nancy Yodel and... Mary Hart are covering the election.
That is
what. But they have to.
That's the election this time around.
So many retarded celebrities are jumping in.
Well, and it's also the interest level. I think it's all about the numbers and the ratings.
Next item. 5 minutes of fame for The Apprentice.
The Apprentice, Donald Trump world.
Don't know anything about this. I watched CSI last night. Mm-hmm. I thought of Buzz.
I thought it was unfair.
It was the CSI.
Yes, of course.
It was all about swingers.
Oh, well, I have a T-vote. I can't wait.
Heavy duty swinger stuff on
CSI.
I'll
be watching it tonight. Just don't look in my dishwasher.
No, good one. Okay.
All right, don't give anything away.
I won't.
I got to watch it tonight.
Let me just say, you could have been looking in Bill O'Reilly's dishwasher as well.
All right.
So, having said that, while that's on, 20 million people are watching that. There's also 20 million people that are watching The Apprentice.
Yes, right. The Apprentice is still one of the hottest shows on television.
Rita loves that show. She TiVos that. She watches CSI with me and TiVos The Apprentice. I know Kerry does that with Robbie. A lot of people. Buzz, have you ever watched The Apprentice, Buzz?
I couldn't make it through an episode.
Don't worry. Me either.
This is great. We're promoting it now, aren't we?
But listen, everybody loves this. So it's the 5 minutes of fame. You guys got to call in now. We'll give this girl 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
So you can ask her questions.
Very good.
The girl that got fired yesterday.
And now, Beth Ann had indicated to you that last night's episode of The Apprentice was one of the most controversial.
Groundbreaking.
Really?
Never happened before. Here's the clip.
She pulled his hair off.
From The Apprentice last night.
Elizabeth, all of your people that you were leading,
yes.
Good people, are saying you were terrible.
Yeah, well, they're going to say that. They all back the military idea.
I don't know. You just don't have a lot of something. What the hell's missing with you, Elizabeth? You came here with great credentials, but I see no leadership. Let me ask you, would you pick two people or three people to come back to the board?
Two.
Who would the two be?
Raj and Chris.
Honestly, Elizabeth, I just don't think it's necessary. You're fired.
Now, to me, that sounds like any apprentice, but apparently what's important about this is that this girl got fired before they had the board meeting.
And it seemed like the Donald was getting a little personal there at the end.
So we now have 5 minutes. We're waiting for this Elizabeth to call in.
Well, she doesn't have that something. That's probably why she hasn't called you.
Will this waiting count against her 5 minutes?
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Yes, it does. Yes, that's right. So technically now she only has 3 minutes left. 3 minutes of fame left.
Would you like me to play the role of Elizabeth and call in?
No, Mike, I would rather just talk to...
She's on it.
Beth Ann, who is madly dialing right now. See, I believe the problem was Nancy Yodel was on the same line that the girl from The Apprentice was going to be calling
that
on.
Would do it. Uncle Sam just came bounding down the hall.
Joe's back.
Wearing his top hat.
But it was let's interview Joe.
It was casual, Uncle Sam, because his coat was off.
Joe, come on in here for a second and show us your haul. Show us what you got. Incidentally, this apprentice girl's got 2 minutes left.
$20 says he left it in the car.
Oh, he's got it. Yay.
Got it. You got that 20?
No.
Okay. That's a shock.
Howdy.
I'm kidding.
Thanks.
I'm kidding. You paid me back the $20 this week. Sorry. I just wanted to mention that.
All right, we have peanut butter.
Uh-huh. Yum.
We have milk.
That is a big jar of peanut butter.
And we have Yingling traditional lager.
The Bull. I haven't had one of these since I was in high school.
What is that, Joe? What is that?
Schlitz malt liquor.
Schlitz malt liquor.
The strong stuff.
Joe, all you need is a pair of stilts, and like you could be in a carnival wearing this dumb Uncle Sam suit.
Well, Mike was telling me that these are the uniforms that his waiters wear at America.
Thanks. Look around, Cafe.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for the plug.
Joe. Oh, is the apprentice 5 minutes of fortune here? 5 minutes of fame? Yeah. Yeah, actually, she's got now 2.5 minutes. So, callers, stand by. Joe, what's your official haul?
My official haul?
What'd you get, dude?
A Heineken, a Schlitz Malt Liquor Bull, a Miller Lite, Yingling Lager, 2% reduced fat milk, 40 ounces of Skippy peanut butter.
Hello?
Hello.
That's it.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Hello, Elizabeth?
Uh-huh, that's me.
Elizabeth made history last night, the only girl ever fired, or the only person ever fired from The Apprentice without even getting to the boardroom.
What did you do to make the Donald mad?
I don't think I did anything to make him mad. I think he just saw a bunch of people trying to gang up on somebody else and thought, ooh, this is a great opportunity for TV.
Elizabeth, here we go. We call this 5 minutes of fame. All of your fans.
5 minutes? I thought it was 15.
Well, on this show it's five.
Oh, I see.
Here now is these are people from around America, area code 510, I don't know where that is, calling to ask you questions about The Apprentice.
Okay.
Hello, you're on the air with Elizabeth.
Hi, yeah, it's Elizabeth.
Yeah,
Elizabeth.
You from San Fran?
What's that?
Where are you from?
California.
Oh, excellent.
San Francisco.
I was wondering all along why you didn't go with the first idea when you guys stayed up late at night, you and the other guy late at night, and then the next day you threw everything out and you couldn't figure out what you wanted to do.
Yeah, you know what? I'm so glad you asked that question because actually
she has 90 seconds left.
Kevin and I created, and what I did was I went in the editing room to see if we had the footage to make it happen, and we didn't. So there was no way I could go with that idea. It wasn't a decision. It just wasn't possible. Unfortunately, I couldn't tell Kevin that before we went into the boardroom, so he kind of had a misunderstanding of what happened.
What is it you were trying to do at that point?
Listen, I got to go to another caller. Thank you, though. Let's go to area code 410 with another question for Elizabeth from The Apprentice. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
And we didn't.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Turn down your radio and talk to Elizabeth.
Okay, Elizabeth, I was just wondering, why don't any of the task leaders, why aren't they able to command the respect of the rest of the team? And it wasn't just you, but all of them have trouble getting the people to follow and do what they want to do. Why is that?
Okay, shut up. She can answer. Elizabeth.
Well, you know, in real life, it's much easier to command the respect of a team. What we were faced with, especially with this cast, is that everybody realizes that if you get strong people out early, they have, you know, you have a better, I don't know, ability to get further in the game. So what happens is when you become a project manager, you're a prime target. And when people see an opportunity to gang up on you, they do because they know that they can get you out of the game. And that's really a strategy that a lot of people use, particularly in season two.
Area code 916, Northern California. Hello, you're on with Elizabeth from The Apprentice.
Oh, boo.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. You're on with Elizabeth. Turn your radio down.
All right.
All right, go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, hey, guys. Yeah,
Come on.
What's up with that? Why are people being such, you know, a-holes and not following? That's the problem, is that people are just being like, well, we're not going to do this because we want you out.
All right, Mike Wallace, hold on a second.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir on that one. I mean, I went there to prove my business skills, and I tried to focus only on that. But, you know, when you're in a reality show, there's two sides of it, and that's definitely the lesson I learned, is you got to be great at business, but you got to be, you know, sort of a player of the game and strategize that part, too. If I had to do it over again, I think I'd win, because now I have the business skills, now I have the player skills, too.
Thank you. Let's try one more. Hello, Don and Mike. You're on with Elizabeth from The Apprentice.
Hey, Elizabeth, you know you were on that show?
Oh, I'm sorry. 5 minutes is up.
It's okay.
Time is up. But go ahead.
He
guy hung up?
Well, you gotta that
take,
was fun.
You got to take one more.
Elizabeth, you can have one more.
Yeah, here.
Okay.
Here's one more for you. Don and Mike show. Hello. You're on with Elizabeth.
Hello. Yeah, Elizabeth. Do you think Kevin is the favorite to win? He seems to be just strong enough, but he also seems to fly under the radar just enough.
Yeah, you know, they're definitely showing a lot of Kevin's strengths, and, you know, he is a strong guy, and you know, he does a great job, so I'm not allowed to tell you who wins, but I think he's a solid guy.
All right. Yay for the brother.
All right. Thank you, my friend. And Elizabeth, look at that. You got some bonus time. Thank you for being on the show with us, Elizabeth. We do appreciate it. And sorry that you made history by being the first person to get fired before you go to the boardroom. Just remember, though, life isn't fair.
That's right. It's all good.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
See, that's how you do those reality people.
Absolutely.
That was great.
See, you let those people scratch that. It's those people that watch that dumb show.
They enjoy that. They're passionate fans of that show.
All 16 lines are still lighting up with
people. Sure, people do love the show.
There you go.
Fantastic.
There you go, Bethann. That's how you do that. That's my girl.
Hello.
There you go.
Yeah, that was good stuff, guys.
There you go, Artie. That's how you do it.
That's the best radio I've ever heard.
That's right. You're goddamn
I love
right.
It.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the attitude.
You're the man.
Use the word genius.
Get out of here.
Happy Halloween.
You too.
Get out of here. Be right back with Rich Eisen.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
A bitter cold night. The Giants, with a victory against the Eagles tonight, could reduce the edge to a half a game. Not on camera now. We're in Philadelphia at Franklin Field. The score, the New York Football Giants 13, the Philadelphia Eagles 9.
Don and Mike Show. Nothing matters but the weekend. From a new standpoint, I don't reckon it'll happen again for months and months and months. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, right.
I call extreme herbal mint.
You haven't even tasted it. You're just reading a magazine.
I know. It doesn't matter. I still call it. There are no rules about that. I call it because there's an app with all the flavors in it. And I call it. I just saw this ad.
Sounds good.
You called Cinnamon Rush and you called Fresh Citrus Breeze. I also called. Did you mention a new refreshing vanilla mint?
No, although I'm going to call that one because I love vanilla.
You can call that one.
Okay.
But I get extreme herbal mint.
Are you enjoying your magazine? I can tell it's late on a Friday show. We're coming back from commercial.
Yes.
And that's the first thing you say. You're looking at an ad in the magazine.
What is
there
the,
you go.
Fine publication.
It is.
I read magazines every day.
It's reading the ad.
Not anything unusual, but I saw this and I jumped to attention.
What is
because in this piece of garbage, there's nothing much else in
there. People magazine.
People magazine.
Time for Rich Eisen now.
Yay.
And Pick the Pros, which is brought to you by Tower Records and Tower.com. Your only source for music and movies, Tower Records, the best place to go. Discover music. Has been for over 40 years, just in time for Halloween. Dawn of the Dead with Bing Rames. Now in the theatrical and unrated director's cut.
Get it.
Tower has the greatest magazine selection everywhere, anywhere. Buy online or at your local store, Tower.com. Tower Records, everything worth watching is here. Rich Eisen Show. NFL Total Access every night at 7 and 10 on the NFL Network. And...
oh, no.
Here I am.
Is he here?
Oh, I don't see him on the phone.
You want to talk about toothpaste some more?
Well, now, I know he's supposed to be here because we've even... I'm not going to read that, Rob. I'm not that desperate yet. We've even...
Oh, come on. We're both desperate. I'm not kidding you this time.
We've even had email conversations today, Rich Eisen and I. Oh, here he is now. Hey, Rich.
Yeah.
Hey, here he is.
All right.
How you doing?
Rich Eisen. Hi, Rich.
Sorry about that.
Welcome. No problem. I did the plug for your show.
Thank you.
NFL Total Access.
7 Eastern.
7 Eastern, and repeated at 10 o'clock. So here we go. Let's get to this. Now,
let's get to it.
Something that was great and crazy on Rich's show this week.
Crazy.
Was this guy Shanahan for the Broncos.
I've heard of him.
Now, I'll set this up and let Rich explain this to you.
He's into coaching, isn't he?
Everybody's heard, Mike, about cut blocking, right?
Yes.
It's an illegal way of blocking.
That, like, kind of like chop blocking?
Same difference.
Same thing.
And everybody says the Broncos are the worst at it.
Because they're coached to do it?
Yeah. And last week, they knocked out some guy from Cincinnati with this.
Took his knee out.
So, Rich, tell everybody.
Took his ankle out, actually.
Ow.
This is incredible.
Tony Williams is George. Normally, a guy named George Foster on a big hit in Cincinnati is usually a good thing.
Yeah, right.
But not this particular one. George Foster, one of the offensive linemen of the Denver Broncos, cracked back on Tony Williams, a defensive end, and blocked him. It was one of those sort of, oh gosh, I better go get him, and the only thing he went and got was his ankle.
And
created massive uproar because it broke his ankle, put him out for the season, make it even worse.
So they start to talk again, you know, just like you said, Mike, the Broncos are a cutback team. The bad blocking. So Shanahan, and they show this on Rich's show, calls the press in to the room like they have out at Redskins Park, the big auditorium where the team watches film.
Oh, yeah.
Shanahan brings the press in and starts showing them tapes of other teams using crackback blocks.
Including the Steelers, whose coach Bill Cowher, he has his press availability every Tuesday. And Dick Vermeil are, I think, the only two coaches in the league who make their first press availability of the week on Tuesday as opposed to Monday. And he was asked his 2 cents on the block, saying, hey, you know, what do you think about that? He said, I don't condone it. And, you know, if I was a coach whose player was knocked out for the season, based on that, I'd be pretty upset about it. And so Shanahan said he was upset that Cowher said that and brought the media into his the film room and showed film of Steeler...
No.
I think
offensive lineman.
He don't protest too much.
Same tactics.
You have to see this because
it's amazing.
Shanahan, who's got those big Regis teeth anyway, those veneers. He's up there and he's pissed about this, and he's wanting to make a point to the reporters. He says, "Come on in. You're never allowed in this room." And now, Rich, maybe you can help me explain this. As he's showing the tape of the other teams doing what the Broncos have been accused of, he's going at coach speed. The tape is moving too fast, even for me to watch.
To really even follow it.
Because he's doing the back forth. He says, look at the tackle. Look at the tackle. Look at where his head is. And you're
wondering which one's the tackle.
Right.
Even though you're a big fan, it's the X's and O's sometimes when you've seen it 20,000 times a week like a coach, it's not as readily apparent as it is to someone from the media who's not used to watching film like myself.
It's
pretty amazing. I mean, none of the guys here, not Rod Woodson, not Lincoln Kennedy, have ever heard of an instance of a coach taking issue with what some other coach said and then bringing an entire media contingent into the film room.
Wow. Show them films of the other teams.
Lair, pretty much using visual aids to dispute what another coach
and
said.
Sounds like he's close to snapping.
It's
definitely, obviously, a nerve that was struck because, as you guys pointed out, the Broncos are always the ones pointed out for doing it, and he says basically everybody does it. The only thing is that the Broncos are usually, according to, you know, what the guys here on my show keep saying, is that the Broncos are more often than not, year after year, one of the more undersized lines in the league, and have people do that to create the cutback lanes for people like, you know, Terrell Davis and all the others, and who have run for Mike Shanahan to use.
And the other thing that's so great about this tape is when this is done, and he's done lecturing the press and showing them up on the screen, almost like you would make it with a home, if you're making a home movie and you put credits on, in these big retarded letters it says, the end. and as Shanahan is saying to these reporters, have you seen enough? Have I made my case? Do you see they all do it?
And is his demeanor visibly angry while he's doing this?
Perturbed. Rich,
he's definitely, you could sense he relished having this particular stage, and he said that it's the last time he's ever going to address this issue, ever.
And the one other thing...
And for those who missed it, we're going to rerun it on tonight's show on Fridays.
There's a plug, Brad NFL Total Access.
Thank you.
The other thing that was on your show this week that was great, last year, I don't remember when Herm Edwards, the coach of the Jets, made that great speech, you know, you play to win the game. Remember that big meltdown he had?
Last year, sure.
Yeah. He had a bigger meltdown this week, and it involved... Now, Rich, give me the background on this.
Well, the background was is that some people in the New York media believe that the Jets taking the approach of a silver lining or a moral victory or, you know, we proved we could play with the Patriots or we took a step forward as a team even though we lost, you know, that sort of talk was viewed by some members of the media, one New York Daily News scribe in particular, as being a rosy outlook. And he used or with blinders on, not a surprisingly upbeat mood is what he said in his piece, as well as using just a metaphor to kick off the piece. He said it was cold and dank in Gillette Stadium for the game, but inside the Jets locker room afterwards, it was all sunny. And that's what Coach Edwards took serious issue with. And
so he goes off. He definitely went off. You got to picture this guy screaming. And now, not screaming, but speaking with a loud tone of voice, saying,
intensely,
I want to know, whatever man or woman it is that wrote this in the newspaper, I want you to put your hand up right now. Because you don't have the guts to do it. You were not in the locker room. You don't know what's going on. And I mean... he lost it.
Wow.
And I know
what... Basically, when you came in the locker room, you came in after I had addressed the team. You know, you weren't there when we first came off. And conversely, when the Jets were 5-0, he said, we didn't do jumping jacks after every win. He's like, you know, and he takes issue with it because he says that reading in between the lines of that is that the coach doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
That, you know, that we're not, that the Jets don't have a sense of reality and that they're living in an alternate world and the coach doesn't know what they're doing and they put so much in this one game and they won't admit it and their season's over. So he just took some serious issue and, you know, it's week eight, man. This is it now.
Yeah, it's the halfway point. Everybody's starting to get a little wrapped tight.
It's becoming the phrase that we keep saying every week that you are what you are, depending on what you are in the standings. It's like this is it now. I mean, Parcells came out today and said that the Cowboys, he didn't call it a must win, but you know, he came out today and said, let me see if I can get you the exact quote.
Okay.
He said, this is a very important time for us. We have to start showing some progress before it's too late. And this is a guy who said all throughout the first month that you really don't know what type of team you have until after Thanksgiving. And he's saying that right before Halloween because, as you might imagine, they're 2-4.
2-4. Last thing for everybody in Baltimore with the Ravens this weekend. Oh, and hold on. We have a message for you. Do we have that? Yes, perhaps you're aware of...
You know how we like to get people that are involved in the NFL to give you personalized messages, Rich? You
sure,
know
that was Charlie Casserly a couple weeks ago.
Right. And today it's number 55 from your Baltimore Ravens, linebacker Terrell Suggs.
Yes.
And here's his message.
Terrell.
I did that yesterday, too.
He came and we visited with us in the offseason.
Oh, well, he likes you. Here's what he had to say about you, Rich. Here he is.
This is Terrell Suggs of the Baltimore Ravens, and Rich Eisen is a Pop-Tart. He's a sweetheart. He's soft in the middle.
Soft in the middle.
You're a Pop-Tart, you're a sweetheart, you're soft in the middle.
I'm soft in the middle.
Yes. Let's hear that one more time, please.
This is Terrell Suggs of the Baltimore Ravens, and Rich Eisen is a Pop-Tart. He's a sweetheart. He's soft in the middle.
Yes.
So, does that mean I'm lightly frosted on the outside?
That's good. I like that.
But for everybody in Ravenstown listening to us now on Live 105, T.O. versus the Ravens, this goes back to even before the season. Please do explain, if you can now, the new twist, which is not that Terrell Owens is mad at Ray Lewis. He has a beef with Ozzie Newsome, who's the general manager, and this is all in his new book, right?
Well, I mean, he wrote in his book that Ozzie Newsome's told his agent that, you know, that they're both from Alabama, meaning Newsome and T.O., and said something along the lines of a racially tinged comment about their background together.
It was
know.
It was something along the line. I saw the quote. It was like, you need, allegedly, Tara Lowens is saying that Ozzie Newsome said, I'm a black man, you're a black man, I got to be around to make sure that you're okay. You know, it was...
Well, I mean, basically, he just thought it was Newsome pandering to T.O., using their backgrounds together in a racially tinged way that he took offense to, and basically said it in his book, and said, and you know, that Ozzy won't take it back, and it's just, I don't know, man, it's just another layer of angst that's T.O. related to lay on top of this game, and you know, Rod Woodson went to Baltimore this week for us, you know, he knows all those guys, he played with them, and his interview with Ray Lewis is going to be on Saturday's NFL Total Access.
Yeah, it seems there are a lot of people looking for stuff to put on the bulletin board this week.
Okay, and the bottom line is, though, is that I think from what Rod sensed, that there's a lot of animosity. There's a lot of steam that needs to be blown off in this game. I thought back in the day when the preseason, when they played one another and we went through all this stuff during the preseason in a game that didn't matter, you know, that they'd see each other on the field, they'd talk, they'd hug, and then it would be all over, and then when it would roll around in week 8, it would be, well, you know, we went through all this back in the fall, or back in the summer, and this is much ado about nothing, but it is, in fact, the exact opposite. I think that it's a much ado about quite a bit.
And
certainly this whole thing with Ozzy, with the general manager, the very the venerable general manager of the Ravens, just adds another layer here.
The last thing about this, did you see, of course you saw, you see the highlights. The sign last week in Cleveland.
Yes, it takes one to know one.
Too great.
Ingenious sign.
And you know what else was good is T.O. has B.O.
Well, that's a little more of a lower common denominator there.
I agree.
Other one I thought was definitely far more clever than just the T.O. has D.O.
Agree. And you know what? That's the one that takes one to know one. The one that he ripped down when he scored the touchdown.
True.
Because he made the comments about Garcia.
Very clever, Scott. Yeah. I really enjoyed that one.
A very
we laughed
good.
Out loud here, all of us. We watch the games together here on our set every Sunday.
And a great way of T.O. Drawing attention to it also by ripping it down.
I guess so. We wouldn't have seen it had D not ripped it down.
That's right.
And you know, before we picked the games, Rich, I saw you had T.O. on your show. And
yes, we did.
When he has, like, his hat on backwards that has his website.
Yes.
I watched the TV an inch away from the screen, but it appeared to me that the words TerrellOwens.com were perhaps in diamonds.
I doubt that. It may be sequined, but I don't know if the guy's wearing a diamond hat, but I wouldn't put it past anybody in this case. Some of the jewelry and the bling that we have seen on players on this show, or my favorite one was Philip Buchanan of the Raiders came on with a diamond-encrusted padlock around his neck with a huge diamond-encrusted sort of pendant sort of necklace thing, and it was huge. It draped down to the man's midsection, and we asked him, why are you wearing an upside-down padlock? And he says, because it's my job to lock him up.
Right, yeah. Right.
I like that.
And this thing probably caught, I mean, I don't know how many carats it was, but it was unbelievable. That's my favorite one. Brenton Buckner, who wears his watch, a diamond-encrusted watch that over the face of the watch are the diamond-encrusted letters BB, his initials. And I said to him, I said, why do you have that? You can't even tell what time it is. And he shows me the watch. He goes, yeah, I can. I'm like, what is it? And he goes, it's always BB time.
Oh, man. I like anything that starts with diamond-encrusted.
Yeah. All of it. It's so I don't put it past. It may be diamonds. I can't speak to it.
This is the insight that you get from Rich Eisen.
Absolutely.
Rich. NFL Total Access. I get it all the time. Thank you.
Tonight at 7 and 10. We got five games we're picking this week, Mike.
Yep.
All right. Five big ones.
I guess we have to start with the Ravens and the Eagles then.
Correct. You know, geez. Boy, Westbrook is out, right?
Yeah, and Jamal Lewis as well as Jonathan Ogden as well.
That's true. I think somebody's got to shut the Eagles up. They ain't going to go 16-0. I'll take the Ravens.
All this turmoil, I'm going to agree with you. I think it's going to be the Ravens. This is the time when Philly's going to get their first loss.
All right, the Colts at the Chiefs.
Wait, let me just ask you. I know you don't like picking the games.
Yes.
But let me ask you your opinion. Do you think Vermeil is still in control of the Chiefs?
Absolutely.
All right, then I'll take the Chiefs because they got to come back.
Yeah, I think the Colts win this one easily.
All right, next, please.
So that's your take on the rematch of this AFC title game there, yes. Or the AFC game there?
If the Chiefs don't win, their season's over. So
Patriots or the Steelers there? That's a big one too.
Patriots and Steelers. Yeah, I made the mistake last week. I picked the Jets. No way. And I do believe the Patriots can win all their games. I'll take the Patriots.
Well, Rich, as you know, there's a bigger story in New England this week.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I was waiting.
Congratulations.
My friend.
I was
Rich
waiting.
Rich just gone to my friend. You know, Rich, that's the phoniest, showbiziest thing. We love that.
My friend.
Love
my friend. Congratulations. Yes.
It's a delight. It's going to be the secondary story even on Sunday because of the big parade up in Boston on Saturday. I think that really, in a weird way, will affect the New England Patriots, and I think Pittsburgh wins this game.
Oh, no way.
By the way, did you see the back page headline of the New York Daily News?
I did not.
They won it.
What was it?
Brilliant headline. The day after the Red Sox win it, they got a big picture of the pig pile in Busch Stadium, and the headline of the Daily News read, "See you in 2090.
Yeah, they had to go with something, and the other one, I think the New York Post had "About Time."
Yeah, "About Time."
Both New York papers, hey, how are those grapes? They taste awfully sour.
Very sour.
All right, two more games ready.
Jaguars and Texans.
Hi, KIKK in Houston, where we're heard.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you, this is a game. Texans are a team on the come. But I will take the Jaguars.
I will take the Houston Texans. I'm gonna take your comment there. I'm gonna go with Houston.
And they're coming off a bye as well.
Mm-hmm.
And this one's big, guys. It's a final game. It's more than just a game, with the Packers and the Redskins this weekend. You know why, right?
Yes. Oh, we've covered this with the election crash.
Yes.
That's correct.
So we have.
Good story. The Redskins game before the election, if they win, the incumbent wins the election. And if they lose or tie, then the challenger wins.
Now, Rich, I'm going to tell you a tale. And this is a tale that I'm sure you'll want to tell your friends. I'll keep it very brief. As much as Mike loves the Red Sox, I love the Packers.
You do, buddy.
The first Packers game that I went to was in 1966. You should know my son is named Bart. Not because I'm some hump that loves the Packers, but because when I was in the hospital when I was a kid, guess who came to see me? That's right, the great Bart Starr. And guess who sent me a Christmas card for the next 5 years in a row? The great Bart Starr.
Really?
And believe this or not, when the Packers were in the Super Bowl against the Patriots in New Orleans, I'm walking through the media hotel, and I see Bart Starr having breakfast with the late Dick Schaap.
Yep.
Because I'm this type of guy, I walk up, and I got the credential to get through. I say, hey, you don't know me from a hole in the wall, but you came to see me when I was in the hospital when I was a kid. And as it turns out, I named my son Bart. And he looked at me, Bart Starr did, like I was, like, just out of a mental ward. And Dick Schaap looked at me and seriously said to me, how did you get in here?
And, how did you get in here?
And Bart Starr's wife, Cherry Starr, she says to me, was that in Rockford, Illinois? And I said, yes, it was. And she said, you hurt your knee playing football. And she said, would you please sit down with us? I got to have breakfast with Bart Starr. I got to tell him all of this stuff. And then he says to me as we're leaving, give me your address. So I give my address. Don't think anything about it. A couple days later, this nice big picture for my son, who's now a sophomore at Clemson, of Bart Starr comes, and it says, to Bart, best wishes for a great future. Bart Starr.
Very, very
so
cool.
So, here's my dilemma, Rich.
Well, I was about to say, I thought he would sign it to Bart. How did your dad get in there?
Here's the dilemma.
Yeah.
I'm a season ticket holder for the Redskins.
Oh, boy.
Because I've lived here for 20 years. Now,
you don't have a dilemma?
When I go to the game on... No,
I mean,
it's my physical dilemma. When I go to the game on Sunday, I'm going to be one of those schmucks that wears every piece of clothing for the other team.
Right.
Yes.
So having said all of that, the Packers will kill the Redskins this weekend. Mike.
I'm going to go with the Packers.
Very good. I know you're doing it for more than just John Kerry reasons, right?
No, I'm doing it because of your support of the Boston Red Sox during the postseason this year, which you never threw your support in back of them. And because you did that, pal, I'm for your Packers. I'll be rooting for your Packers. And I just thought
it's because you named your son Lynn after Lynn Dickey.
No, I named both my daughters Forrest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, hey, Rich, we could play this game all day. Who is the quarterback who played and got hurt so that Brett Favre could get his job?
That'd be Don Magic Man Mikowski.
What number did he wear?
Oh gosh.
That would be number 7, Rich. Don Mikowski.
Impressive.
Yeah. Let's see, Lynn Dickey.
Scary.
Lynn Dickey's number?
I don't know.
When he played for Green Bay, that would be number 12. And how about way back in the day when they made the playoffs and they played the Redskins in the playoffs, and I was at that game in 1972. Quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, bright young kid from Alabama, Bart Starr's alma mater, number 16. Remember him?
Yeah,
no, you
of course.
Don't. Scott Hunter. I'm boring you now, aren't I?
He's boring.
Listen, I gotta run, guys.
I thought so. Oh. Rich, you're the greatest. Keep kicking ass on your show, NFL Total Access.
Thanks, guys. You take it easy. Speak to you next week.
All right, you got it.
Bye-bye.
You drove him away. You scared him away.
I always do that.
He was saying at the end of that segment, how did he get in here?
That's Rich Eisen. His show is on tonight, every night, 7 and 10 on the NFL Network. And Rich is brought to us by Tower Records and Tower.com. Your only source for music and movies. Tower Records, the best place to go and discover music, has been for over 40 years. Well, I have to read this whole thing again. Just in time for Halloween, Dawn of the Dead with Ving Rhames, now on a theatrical and unrated director's cut.
Wow.
Tower has the greatest magazine selection anywhere. Thanks, Buzz.
Sure.
Buy online or go to your local store at Tower.com. Tower Records, everything worth watching is here.
I think it's reasonably safe to say I'm going to root for the Packers like I've never rooted for the Packers before.
Yeah, well,
on a variety of levels.
Yes. You've got the carry.
Little payback. I know you're, for whatever reason, what it is that you've never had them in town since years and years and years ago.
Right. They've not played here for 24 years. I was at that game as well.
I am finding significance in this incumbent challenger thing, though, with the presidential election.
Go
so
back, go.
Could be interesting.
Let me just say this to you. Where were you 7 days ago? You were right here doing the show.
Yes.
7 days ago, we needed a pick-me-up.
Oh, yes.
As a country, we didn't need a pick-me-up. We didn't need a shot on the arm. We just had a Japanese alarm clock
that right.
we've been sitting on for a long time.
Sure.
And as it turns out, it was the super terrific, happy, lucky Japanese alarm clock.
That's right. Super terrific, happy, lucky?
Yeah.
All right.
And we've got another one this week for you.
And you said before, and I listen to everything you say on the show, you said this is a better one.
It's better than the
one last week.
I'm not
always just over here reading magazines.
Now it will go off during the phone scan, and someone will win the Super Happy Terrific Friday prize.
I have only one question for you.
Yes.
Are we going to get a preview of the Super Terrific Happy Lucky whatever?
Here it is.
Good morning.
You gotta let it soak in a couple times.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And that is some sort of Japanese tune?
I think it's very popular in Japan.
I think so.
Who had recorded it also?
I think it's the theme from Hello Kitty. Really? I think so.
How the hell did you know that?
Because the clock is Hello Kitty. Well, is that clock a Hello Kitty clock?
Well,
it is.
Or is it a Mekaleki High terrific happy...
Don, the cat's not beckoning.
Oh, no. Right. It's not got the arm moving up and down. Yeah, I guess it is it's the Japanese Hello Kitty.
It's a fantastic, great... Great detail in that.
As they call it over there, Hello Kitty.
So something tells me this is really going to sweeten up this last segment.
Sure, I agree.
And listen, when this alarm clock does
good
that
morning.
And says good morning,
uh-huh.
You're going to win the Super Happy Terrific Friday bonus prize.
Yay!
Is it a Super Happy Terrific Friday lucky prize?
It is that as well, Robbie.
That's right. It's a great prize that'll bring you luck.
So now,
I'm just getting you this happiness.
Phone scan.
That's fascinating.
Phone scan 877. Now, don't look at the magazine, Mike. I know you're kidding.
I'm not looking at the magazine. I'm looking at the ad.
Still looking at the ad for toothpaste?
Yes, because I've selected Extreme Herbal Mint.
I call it 877-365-3636. That's the number from USA, Canada, Mexico, 800-636-1067. The call's lying straight ahead on the rotating random phone scan. Let's... Oh, there it is. Three, two, one. Right on schedule. Good morning.
Good morning.
Call now. Phone scan next.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Feel free to make this your own. Oh, that's their direction for us. Mike, fall is here and kids are headed for the bus.
Others are headed off to college. They may be declaring their independence, but they still want to stay connected.
If you've got OnStar, you've got a cell phone built into your vehicle, ready to go.
Even when your cell phone is low battery, forgotten on the kitchen counter or out of range.
OnStar personal calling is hands-free. Let me explain to you how it works.
How does it work, Don?
You're in your vehicle and you press the blue OnStar button.
Yeah, that's what you hear.
Actually, it's a hands-free cell phone.
Yeah, no phone to hold, no battery recharge, and no additional long-distance or roaming charges.
It doesn't sing the Super Happy Terrific song or say good morning, but the Save and Sound plan with OnStar is $16.95 per month plus tax after the first year.
If you have OnStar, press the blue button to order minutes. If you don't have OnStar, check out OnStar.com or swing by any GM dealership for a demo.
Good morning.
The Don and Mike Show.
Good morning.
WKFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
You have no idea what your work means to me.
What does it mean to you?
When somebody out there knows what it's like to be in here.
Oh, God, this is like a nightmare.
Oh, come on, just a couple of questions. How hard is that? How do you write women so well?
I think of a man, and I take away reason and accountability.
The Don and Mike Show.
Even tastier than Chef Boyardee. The Don and Mike Show.
All right.
What happened in your life that made you so needy that you got to fill every waking second by babbling on?
I don't know. Let me say here on IBC tonight on the Affinity Broadcasting Company. Uncle Ronnie and Aunt Fez have their spooktacular tonight.
Yay. Aunt Fez's beard is looking ducky.
Yeah. I don't even know what Ron and Fez are doing, but I urge them tonight, whatever they do, with my blessing, steal it from me. Uh-huh. And remember, you're stealing from me, you're stealing twice.
Right.
Whatever you do, call it a spooktacular.
I know that it's going to be scary. I'm not kidding you this time.
I'm not kidding you this time.
Now, phone scan. 877-365-3636. And know this.
Yes?
That once we start the phone scan, the super happy, terrific Japanese alarm clock will start, and when it stops and says good morning, someone wins a super happy, terrific prize.
Good morning! Like that.
Now your calls.
Only not as clear.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Is there a chance of multiple prizes?
Oh, I know you like multiples.
It depends how often you set the thing to go off, Rob.
I know, that's fun.
You're kind of the key master on that. You're like the guy from The Matrix. Who was the guy in The Matrix? The key guy? Who's the guy... Remember the second Matrix? Never mind. I'm the only one that liked the Matrix.
The Gate Master.
No, he was like the kid. No, that's from Ghostbusters.
Webmaster.
No,
Gozer.
Gozer, the Key Master.
And he's also Jerry Todd.
Rick Moreno. Hello, Don and Mike. Turn down your radio, please. Or
not.
Just go ahead and listen to Dial Tone. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don, Mike, yes. How you doing?
Phone scan, howdy.
Hey, I just want to let you know, I just got back from the Middle East region earlier this week, been gone about 3 months, and you know what? You don't really realize what you miss until you do without it.
and you guys make me laugh every day, and I never realized how much I missed you until I couldn't hear you every day.
What a nice thing to say. Welcome home.
Thank you. Amen, my friend.
That's fantastic.
I'm sorry it wasn't a super happy, terrific call for you, but that's, you know, that's how the...
I wish he could have won.
That's how the Japanese cookie crumbles.
Luck of the draw.
Fortune cookie. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Nice geisha on this line? No, there's no geisha.
Fortune cookies are Hello. Chinese, Don.
What's the difference, Mike? Hello?
Oh! It's Don and Mike.
That's too good a howl to be Count Floyd.
Don and Mike. Count Floyd. Don and Mike. Ghosts like to shake, shake, shake their booty.
Hey. Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Phone scan. Hello?
Hey.
Hey, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you doing?
We're doing great.
Good.
How
good.
Are you anyway?
I should say, how you been?
Oh, hold on. It's just started, so you are now in the running.
Wow.
Oh,
go ahead. It may or may not happen for you.
I know that you guys had to change your format a little bit, and
yeah.
I was wondering
what?
If you noticed, like, on VH1, the tool that does the weekly countdown show,
yeah.
that he says things like BM and... stuff like
right.
that.
Listen, it's called the double standard. Yeah. My friend, do you like the show? Do you enjoy the show we do?
Oh, yeah, I love
okay.
it.
Okay, shut the frig up, okay?
All right.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad that we could solve that.
Not
the problem
winner.
That they can say some things on VH1 that we can't say on our radio show anymore.
The clock didn't go off.
Hello, Don, on my show. No.
I just want to point out to our listening audience that Don is like... It looks like I'm watching Cirque du Soleil right now.
Well,
he's balancing a monitor screen that is malfunctioning and holding up the super happy, terrific monkey cat.
I don't know when it's going to go off.
All right, no one does.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, all I want to know is...
Hey,
winner. You're the winner.
For me?
Yeah.
That was a long one. Although you,
oh, man. You serious?
Yeah, hold on. You're just a super happy, terrific winner. What can we do for you? Then I'll tell you what your super happy prize is.
Golly. All I wanted to know was, I wanted to talk to Joe. I wanted Mike's restaurant, the address to it, so I can go to the restaurant.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
I believe I can answer that for you with three simple words.
What's that?
No blacks allowed.
Oh, stop it.
Man.
However,
can't no Negro go.
Isn't it still located at the intersection of excellence and quality?
Yes, it is. Thank you, Rob.
Listen, because you're the super happy, terrific Friday caller with the dumb alarm clock,
mm-hmm.
you want a trip for two anywhere that Independence Air flies.
Wow.
Take my advice and like go somewhere nice like Orlando.
Yeah.
Okay, dude?
You sir?
That's sure. right.
Oh, man.
The new low fare. New
All I wanted was to go somewhere and get something to eat.
Well,
I didn't expect to win nothing.
Hey, well, see, it's your lucky night. You got the super terrific happy cat.
They have food in Orlando.
Washington Zoo low fare airline is here, and they have 300 flights a day from Dulles alone. They fly to over 35 cities. So find and fly to the city you want. FlyI.com. Independence Air. Go your own way.
Oh, man. This is crazy. Hey, Don, I got one question.
Yes, sir.
Is it possible that... I wasn't expecting this. All I wanted to do was talk to Joe and get my.
I understand. What else? You got to hurry.
All right, just give me the information. Now I'm done.
Okay.
Hey, go ahead, Mike. One question.
Yes, sir.
All right. Do they serve chicken at your restaurant? Because you know we like chicken, right?
Yeah.
Told you. No colors allowed. Stuff.
You get all the chicken you want, my friend.
That's right.
My friend.
I wouldn't rule out another winner.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Would you reset it? Hello.
Hey guys.
Hey.
Is there another actor? Who's as arrogant when playing a role as Jack Cassidy?
Jack Cassidy.
The late Jack Cassidy?
The reason I say that, he's been on Columbo the last 2 days.
Is it the episode where he's a magician?
Yes, the great Santini.
Yeah, he's Jack Cassidy.
Ding, ding, ding.
Listen, for those of you, and I know it's a limited amount of our audience, but screw the big part.
Jack Cassidy!
For those of you who are tracking with
Jack
this guy
Cassidy.
And us, really, like, you got to check out Columbo on A&E, because there are some
Columbo.
Episodes...
I'm going to sit in my chair and light my cigarette with my cigarette lighter.
There are some episodes of Jack Cassidy where he is just so bisexual Jack Cassidy.
Would you say arrogant is the great word for Jack Cassidy?
Yes,
Columbo.
Columbo.
You're not going to solve the murder with me around.
Look at my ascot, Columbo. I'm Jack Cassidy.
How about a light?
I woke up early this morning just to watch it because it's on at 5 a.m. I missed it during the midday.
Yeah.
It's worth seeing him on there. I check, you know, you can do preview for what's coming up on Columbo. It was worth
getting up at 5 a.m. just to watch Jack Cassidy.
Yes.
You are pathetic.
It's weird.
That is pathetic.
That's weird.
That's smart.
Set the alarm for 4:30 so I can splash some water on my face.
Hello, Don and Mike Show phone scan. Well, I'm digging this, whatever this is, but, you know. All right, thank you, Kenny G, checking in. Hello, Don and Mike Show phone scan.
Well, how are you anyway?
How are you anyway? What's happening?
My good friend.
What's
hey,
up?
Although I wasn't in the Middle East, I was in a place much like that, Western Maryland. And I have to tell you how much I missed you, because all I could get was the Greek man. And I so enjoy Mike's impression of the Greek man.
Well, we all do a fine, stellar impressions of the Grease Man.
Hey,
thank you, sir.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Waludu. Hey, where's my dog Blue? Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yes.
You paint your bald spot?
Oh, come on. Go to hell, ass. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Radio God.
What else can you say?
Hi there.
Weekend's here. Have a can of beer.
I'm not. Listen, it's 6 o'clock on Friday.
All right.
I'm out of the witty retorts. You know, go to hell, ass.
Doesn't deserve one.
Hi, lady.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
We're doing good.
This is Sergeant Fury. Do you remember me, Don?
Do I, with your Howling Commandos? Yes. No, I have no idea what you're talking about, darling.
I called you back in July and ratted out that guy who was trying to scam one of your games.
Oh, hey,
could be lucky for you.
Could be. Okay, what can we do for you, Sergeant Fury?
I just wanted to call you guys and tell you that I listen to your show every day, and it just makes work go by so much faster. I love you guys. And Mike, go Sox.
Go Sox.
It's about time.
Thank you, baby.
Thank you. Bye-bye, honey.
Nice.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Super happy, terrific show. Hello. It's no winner yet. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, where are you guys?
Hi there.
Hi there.
Hi.
Are you getting distracted, sir?
I got distracted by the alarm clock there.
Yeah, what about it? Hello?
Go ahead, sir.
Sir, what's the matter?
Is this dude still there? Or is his strategy just to wait for it to say good morning to win something?
I think that's it.
Well, you can't do it that way.
You have to contribute.
Hang up on the guy. Hello?
Hey, I'll take it.
Don and Mike Show, you're on the air. Hello?
Hey, I'll take it. That guy don't want it.
You'll get it.
No, no, you got it. It's going to go off at some point. I don't know when.
Well, it better go now.
Oh, you forget it, ass. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don, where's your witty retort?
We got it, ass. Underneath your magazine.
Oh, hey, I win.
I win. What did I get?
Congratulations.
What did I get?
Mike?
What did I get? How do I get it?
Do you want the laser hair removal?
I do need that. I'm only in a very special place.
Listen, you win because you were on the phone. Are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, listen, first let me say that you've got on the Super Happy Terrific Friday alarm clock phone scan 2 trips anywhere Independence Air flies.
Wow.
Awesome.
Over 35 cities across America. Go to flyeye.com, Independence Air. Go your own way. What can we do for you?
I just want to say I loved your show. I've been listening since WAVA. And the whole FCC change of format really, I think, should prove to everybody how great you guys are. Because
that's
you're
true.
Still funny no matter what you guys are doing. You don't
that's
have
true.
To rely on all that, you know, the other stuff that you were relying
so true.
On.
Boy. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Thank you.
All right, and because I won, too,
uh-huh. Yeah.
And I won the laser hair removal, yeah. I'm flying to Brazil.
Oh! Don and Mike Show.
Watch out for the scabbing.
Hello.
Don and Mike?
Yeah, phone scan. Hi there.
There'll be no mollycoddling.
Okay,
that's
and?
Now, tell me something. I mean, how do you coddle a molly? That's my question.
I want to tell you.
I want to tell you, Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah, see you at the Funny Bone.
What's wrong with these people?
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Okay, reset the clock one more time.
Oh, not an unprecedented third winner?
A third winner.
Third
wow.
time. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing great.
Okay, I had a request. Actually, you guys were doing the best of the Catholic with Louis Sewell and Peter McCracken.
Yeah?
I couldn't hear you. What did you say, sir?
I said the Catholic with Peter McCracken and Louis Sewell.
What?
Are you guys going to bring that back?
I don't know. We could, but the names are probably too dirty. But we can do Catholic to Catholic again.
That's great. And I just want to let y'all know that I'm going to let you guys.
Oh, I've got this thing totally covering the microphone now. What if you're just getting in your car?
If you're getting in your car, you're immediately feeling super happy, lucky.
Glad you paid extra for the good stereo.
Hey!
You won.
Hold on, you win too.
Me?
Yeah.
Yes, you, sir.
Yeah, you won because it's the super happy, terrific clock.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, you also won the two tickets anywhere Independence Air flies, over 35 cities. FlyEye.com, Independence Air, going your own way.
Do they fly to Japan?
And I can get that out here in California?
Yes, yes, you can, absolutely.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful.
Listen, what can we do for you?
Sorry, it's a good giveaway for a California listener. Sorry about that.
What can we do for you?
Is this a trick question?
No.
Christ, hold on for your prize, you damn dummy. Hello, Don.
I was wondering if you're going to the game.
What?
They're going to the Packers game?
Who is?
Am I going to the Packers? This is me, Don. Are you talking to Don and Mike?
Oh, well, are you wearing your Packers jersey?
Hey, can you pull the phone back from your mouth a little bit so we can maybe understand you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Listen,
I'm just so excited.
You're on the air. What can we do for you?
Oh, well, are you going to the football game and wearing your jersey? Because my girlfriend is afraid to wear her jersey in the club level because it's my uncle's ticket.
Yes. Let me just tell you something about the Redskins. Everything's better on the club level. Okay, you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Will you be beaten on the club level if you wear Packer green?
I will not. On the club level, what we will simply do is pinky wrestle. Because at the Redskins Stadium, there's the loge, and there's the lower bowl, and then there's the club level.
The club level.
But if you are wearing the opposing colors in the club level, you only get domestic champagne.
Yeah, but those New York champagnes are delicious.
Don and Mike show. Hello, phone scan.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing very well, thank you.
Hey, thanks for a great show today. I really appreciated it.
Well, thank you for calling and thanking us.
No problem.
No problem.
We're just doing our job.
See you later, dude.
We're here anyway.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Miller with the phone skiller. What's up, fellas?
What's happening?
Done. Just calling to give you a Bill O'Reilly all-time low advertising thing I heard the other day. A couple of weeks ago, I heard him advertising for a transmission fluid with his no spin zone logo, and I just thought that was just an all-time low.
You're kidding about that. Robbie, you heard about that? Really heard about this?
He voices a spot for a local client here, and he makes it appear as if he's, like, talking to the guy.
God, whore.
No, I think you're all jealous.
Can it get any worse?
It can get a lot worse if you're not paying attention to me, sir. And as far as everything else you're reading, really, just realize one thing and one thing only. They're all, every bit of it, a pack of lies.
Hey, Bill?
Yeah, Don. I'm going to win the super terrific, happy, lucky Japanese alarm clock, and I'm looking forward to it. What say you, Japanese?
Not advertising for the alarm clock. You don't have any ads coming out for that?
It's no spin, sir.
Listen, my friend.
Is this the best alarm clock of all time?
It is indeed. It's the best of all time.
You are the last person on the phone scan.
And I'm the best broadcaster of all time.
Now, it's not super lucky, terrific, happy. You do get the HBO Family Bonds prize pack. Meet the Evangelistas. That's every Sunday night at 10, 9 Central on HBO. Thank you for listening.
All right, man.
Okay, you got it. Hold on. Hold on just a second.
Who's looking out for that alarm clock?
How about just one more time? I'll set four. Just so everybody can get their weekend going. 10 seconds.
Very good.
Oh, what the hell. 20 seconds.
20 seconds of bliss.
And here we go. You're sitting at a light and wondering if the cycle's longer than 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
We'll all find out soon.
You know, it's funny. It always seems like it's more than the time you say. But no, that was 20 seconds.
Here it is, right on the nose.
Right on.
And next Friday, another super happy, terrific Japanese alarm clock for the Don and Mike show.
Yeah, wonderful.
And Robbie, make sure you thank your dad.
Oh, I will.
Because that's the crazy part. It's Rob's dad that's buying us all of these.
Maybe I'll hold on to it, Mike.
No, I'm not going to destroy it.
Taking this to my daughter, my injured daughter.
I'm not going to. I don't feel that way about this one.
Okay.
You don't hate this one the way you hated the other one?
I don't. I like this one.
Can't hate.
See, look at me hug it. Look at me cuddle with it.
Very nice of Rob's dad to go down to Subway. Where's it? Obviously down in Chinatown.
Yeah. No, you know where it is?
Where?
I'll give them a plug. The Culmore Shopping Center in Falls Church. I think it's the Yandong Market. They have bolts of fabric. They rent videos. It's a fun place.
Of course they do, Bruce.
Stop
it.
And it's well made.
In a world where never the radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Here he is.
He made it up.
Guy J. Birdley Buzz,
yes.
What is the lead story on your news and comments show today?
Today, a respected pollster calls a winner in Tuesday's election.
Wow. You know who this pollster is?
I do, and I know who the winner is.
Okay.
According to him. For news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Mike Show, Buzz will have that. That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crespa?
The Don and Mike Show. No fake breasts, no condoms, all naked sex and entertainment value. The Don and Mike Show.
Time for Buzz's News. Buzz brought to you by Duramax. Duramax.
Someone call for a doctor?
Doctor developed, clinically tested, Duramax, world's number one sexual pleasure performance enhancer. Call 1-888-TRY-VMAX. And now with the news and the comments, here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
If you're an undecided voter looking to back a winner, a respected pollster says John Kerry will win Tuesday's election. John Zogby tells the New York Daily News, quote, "It's close, but in the last couple of days, things have been trending toward Kerry, nationally and in the swing states. Between this and history, I think it will be Kerry." John Zogby is the pollster listened to by politicians in both parties. And don't believe what you may have read about him in Robert Novak's column this week, quoting Zogby, "I told him Bush was winning. I didn't say I thought he'd win. On Monday, he was looking good, but on Tuesday, things changed. In that one day, Kerry picked up 5 points."
So this this guy is
John Zogby.
I know the name. Zogby poll is a big poll.
Yes, I've heard of Gallup.
Yeah, sure.
That's the one I've heard of.
And that's the household name. You know what's amazing about all of these polls is they are all different, and you read different ones. The one I read one of the Post. I guess they have a daily tracking poll, and right. That seems to go up and down almost every other day.
Yes,
I think. Right, yeah, with polls, don't you think really the bottom line is everybody's got to go out and vote anyway?
Right. How do you break a poll's finger?
How do you do it?
Hit him in the nose. Thank you.
Perhaps.
Are you here all week? Week's almost over.
I'm only here for another 48 minutes. Get me now.
Or perhaps people have been reading the news because things have turned sour for President Bush. Exhibit A.
Oh, pshaw, Buzz.
Exhibit A.
He's as hot as a firecracker.
Exhibit A.
He's popular.
He's on fire.
I got Casimir.
It appears we did lose hundreds of tons of explosives in Iraq after all on our watch. Exhibit B. The FBI has launched an investigation into how Halliburton got
Hey, what happened?
And how Halliburton got its no-bid contract.
Hold on. Bob Barker wants to say something about President Bush. Yes, Bob?
You're an idiot.
Oh, Bob, stop it. Behave yourself. And Exhibit...
You're an idiot.
Exhibit C, it appears the president was wearing something odd under his jacket during one of the presidential debates. Here come the details.
Okay, all right. Now this
is good stuff.
Remember this. We discussed this. We looked at a picture. I know that it's not a visual medium radio, but we looked at the picture and said, think about the debate, and it looked like Bush had a shoebox attached to his back.
Yeah, and we speculated it might be like a flak jacket, like a bulletproof vest.
Right.
I've seen closer, enhanced pictures, and I'll tell you about them in a moment. But first, Exhibit A. ABC News has video of our troops at the bunkers that stored the now-missing explosives, video taken 9 days after the invasion when the explosives were still there. ABC says it's learned the weapons were never secured because we were short on troops during the invasion. Not only did we not find the president's weapons of mass destruction, we lost over 100 tons of the weapons, at least, that terrorists use most often. On Exhibit B, the FBI has started investigating whether the Pentagon improperly gave no-bid contracts to the Halliburton company that once employed Vice President Dick Cheney. The FBI has...
That's a coincidence. That's all that is, Buzz.
FBI was already investigating...
Silly coincidence, Don.
It's a silly one.
The Bureau was already investigating whether Halliburton overcharged taxpayers for fuel in Iraq. This is an expansion of that investigation.
Halliburton.
Pshaw.
The FBI is talking with a top Army contracting officer about this and collecting documents from several government offices.
Halliburton.
The investigation raises the question of whether the Bush administration showed favoritism to Halliburton to the level of a criminal... matter.
Of course.
No way. You can thank a woman named Bunatine Greenhouse for this.
Wow.
She's an Army Corps of Engineers contracting officer.
You think it's hot in that greenhouse?
She blew the whistle. And
where's Bunatine?
Isn't it ironic? This administration could be undone by the greenhouse effect.
Oh, Buzz. He's here all week, too.
On Exhibit C.
Okay, C.
As recently as Wednesday of this week, President Bush was still being asked about the lump under his jacket at one of the debates with John Kerry.
Yes.
On Good Morning America this week, on Wednesday, Mr. Bush laughed off the bulge saying, quote, I don't know what it is. I'm embarrassed to say it's a poorly tailored shirt. But a photo analyst for NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, says that's a poorly tailored story. NASA physicist Dr. Robert M. Nelson says he will stake his scientific reputation on this. His photos, his enhanced photos, show what appears to be a horizontal cigar-shaped lump between the president's shoulder blades. A thinner wire appears to run from that lump upward across the president's shoulder toward his neck. A thicker cable appears to run down from the lump, down across the president's lower back into his waistline.
They're shocking him when he gives the wrong answer.
So says Major Nelson from NASA.
Yes. Wait, now hold on a second. Because
right.
I'm laughing at this because I just heard it.
Right.
But what do they think? Because it's obviously not an earpiece.
That's why I'm saying it's got to be like when he does something wrong, they give him a little shock.
Man, so they like tap him like in a casino.
We don't know what it is.
Oh, my God.
We've been told it's a poorly tailored shirt.
But I mean,
look at the pictures on Salon.com.
They're surrounded
by people.
What's the site, Buzz? Salon.com.
That's where you can see these pictures.
Mm-hmm. The enhanced photos.
It could be a transmitter. You know how small hearing aids are?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be a transmitter to the hearing aid in his ear.
Wow.
So I would think they wouldn't need to have a wired connection box to
be
ear.
An antenna.
Unless they were shocking him.
Does he have a hearing aid?
What?
Unless he's like a dog. Maybe it's like the invisible fence. You know what I mean?
I think you're absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, right.
Oh, yeah.
My answer to that would be no.
Yeah.
Yes.
No. Or what about, I know, this is crazy. Who's seen the movie Runaway Jury?
Yeah, I've seen that.
And the John Grisham book. Right?
Exactly.
At one point, the lead attorney, Gene...
That's a great example.
Gene Hackman, who's playing a guy whose job it is to fix juries.
Right.
They have surveillance to the point where the lead attorney has a little patch behind his ear.
Mm.
I don't know if this technology exists. It was in the book. It's in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see it. It's like a clear Band-Aid. And when they're going through picking the jury members, I know it's a made-up movie, but I believe the technology is correct.
I believe it does.
Gene Hackman is in a room where he's saying, take this witness, take this juror, take this one. And that's what gives the guy the tip,
mm-hmm.
the guy who's the lead attorney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, I didn't read the book, and I think there was a book running Runaway Jury. You would think that technology exists.
And John Grisham wrote about it in the book. I don't know if it's fiction or not,
mm-hmm.
but if Bush has got the junk with wires coming out,
yeah. The bottom line is, if he's laughing it off as a poorly tailored shirt, everybody that watched that debate knows there was something there. I'd like to know what the hell it is.
All right, so Buzz, you got a lot of stuff here. Here's
yes,
the thing.
Right.
3 days before the election,
uh-huh.
do you really think, if people hear all, let's say that everything you just said is true,
right.
that the pollster says Kerry's going to win,
mm-hmm.
that Bush really screwed up the weapons that were lost over there, that he's got
the
Halliburton, and that they wired him up for whatever reason to shock him. Now, anybody out there listening to this, thinking about Bush right now, do you believe all of this stuff? Or do you think that this is last minute, like just piling on?
People believe what they want to believe.
Yeah, and I'd say this, that I don't hear, and certainly you won't hear it on this show,
mm-hmm.
but I don't hear on the other shows, I don't hear like all of the people coming out of the woodwork now with stuff about Kerry.
Well,
the last minute stuff, so
right.
maybe, you know, what Buzz is saying is true.
Yeah, the one thing I think that is not controlled by either camp is the news cycle. I really, you know, and of course, there are people now that are probably screaming, saying, oh, you know, the liberal media, which you hear all the time. But I think news stories like the explosives that went missing, and I think the Halliburton thing is the FBI, which is,
right.
you know, I don't think that's a political agenda. These are just stories that are being covered. And right now, the regular news cycle is not benefiting George Bush at all.
The news period.
Yes, the news period.
Here is Derek here in D.C. about Bush's wire. Derek.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Derek.
Hey, I work in the TV industry, and I just wanted to let you guys in on what this could possibly be. There's a device called the Phonak. What it is, it's a small receiver that you can wear on the body, anywhere on the body, and there's a loop wire. Generally, that goes around the neck. And you wear, if you ever seen the movie Along Came a Spider?
All right, bye-bye. I seen it with Morgan Freeman. And
the president calls it a poorly tailored shirt.
Yeah, that's the point, that I don't doubt that.
Now I'm going to be looking at those pictures again from that debate and see what the deal is.
I don't doubt that there is some technology, whatever the guy that works in TV was saying, but the point here is Bush is saying
it's nothing.
It's a poorly tailored shirt.
And that's creeping me out.
Because they're giving him the answer.
I mean, and you've looked at the enhanced photos.
Yeah, the wire that runs downward from the center of his back, it actually looks like a pair of wires twisted around each other, as you often see with wires. That's how distinctly this NASA scientist was able to bring out the detail of those lumps.
What if they got a wire going to each nipple?
This is the guy.
Right.
We don't have a
picture
of the front.
Make sure I understand. If I get sensitive feeling, my right one, it's yes. Left one, it's no. All right. And you say it will be a pinching sensation.
Very good. Very interesting.
Very low voltage.
And poor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's out there campaigning with and for the president in these final days. Arnold, who gets punished by his wife and by the people of his Austrian hometown whenever he backs Bush.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger. This scene with the enlargement of the press was fantastic.
Wired breasts. And now, the California governor finds himself in a feud with fellow Catholic and actor Mel Gibson. Gibson says Arnold all but hung up on him when he called the governor to talk about stem cell research. Arnold's for it. Mel's against it.
Oh, you remember that Nancy O'Dell brought this up today when we had her on from Accent Hollywood.
Gibson said he just wanted to discuss a supposed ethical problem with that life-saving research. In a stalker-like fashion, Gibson called and left a message on Arnold's answering machine, quoting Mel, "He hasn't called back." Gibson then went on Good Morning America to say, "Well, Arnold, I'm still waiting for your call."
Wow.
And don't you feel like me with all these celebrities?
Mm-hmm.
Shut up.
Yeah, I do. Especially
I enjoy it at
this late hour.
I don't buzz. I mean, I think it's one thing if they want to have Bruce Springsteen go out and do a concert, and if Bush wants to have Tim McGraw or whoever the hell it is he has.
You know, they want to go out and they want to warm up a crowd and sing a couple of songs
that's
and say,
cool.
I'm for this guy.
That's cool. But I don't need Mel Gibson yelling at Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, I do.
About, no, listen, here's how you can serve us all better.
All right.
Mel, make a decent goddamn movie.
That's what you do.
Make a decent goddamn movie. And Arnold, well, just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, because, you know, you're gold.
You're golden, Arnold.
And keep talking, because eventually, you know,
and in the new
something will be said.
In the new Inquirer that I think will hit your grocery stores tomorrow, there's always something on Arnold in there. But he finally says, he's quoted, that he does want to run for president of the United States.
Of course he does, sure. That's the whole game plan.
I know that he's said it before.
It was in the news again today. Yeah, he had said it before, but he's talking more about it now.
Now he's going to be on 60 Minutes Sunday night.
Oh, good.
So here's the quote on 60 Minutes. That Morley Safer says to him, "Are you going to run for president?" Here's the quote from Arnold. "Why not?"
"Why not?"
"With my way of thinking, you always shoot for the top."
Yep.
Then Morley Safert says to him, "How have you done so far as governor of California?" "California."
Mm-hmm.
Arnold says, 10 being the highest, I give myself an 8.
God. Oh, what a mallet head.
So he'll be on 60 Minutes on Sunday night.
I give myself,
that'll be a good show.
I give myself an 8.
I don't even know if you knew this or not, that Maria Shriver broke her foot watching the Red Sox.
No.
What, stomping?
That she was watching the game, got excited at one point when the Red Sox did something,
right,
jumped off the couch, fell on one of the kids' toys, and she broke her ankle.
Oh, Maria, I tell you, calm down. Don't get so excited about the Red Sox. Get excited about my presidency.
And Big Dumb Arnold was also in one of those sound bites.
He set the bone with one hand.
You know who's got a really funny show, I think, is Keith Olbermann. I mean, good luck finding it.
I never watched. When the hell is it on?
I don't know.
Smart,
after our show, that's all I know.
Okay.
He had a clip with Arnold dissing Ted Kennedy, saying something like, what was the analogy? If you took all of the money that Ted Kennedy has wasted, and you held these dollar bills from one end to the other, you could go around Ted Kennedy's belly 3,000 times.
Wow.
I mean, I don't remember the quote.
Doesn't he still pop up to the family compound once in a while?
I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Like it or not, he's a member of that family.
I mean, it's like his divine plan. I'll never enter the family, but then I'll be bigger than all of them. They snubbed me.
Won't
they?
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Won't they feel bad when I throw them all into prison?
But I'm president.
I'm the president. King, Führer, president.
Please do not miss this story. When we come back, Walmart bans another book.
Oh.
Well, I'm sure they're right, Buzz.
We'll see.
The right thinking Walmart.
I just like Walmart.
I know. Hugs are great.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Do you want to get right?
Happy birthday, Tracy, baby. It's the Don and Mike Show.
Joe. Joe's Uncle Sam costume today was provided by Masters Costumes. Six locations in the metro area. Masters. www.masterscostumes.com.
They're good.
You can see a picture of Joe in his costume at joeardinger.com.
Yay.
Buzz is brought to you by... I read that with as much enthusiasm as I could, Joe. News brought to you by Smoke Break. Smokers break
the... This is good smoke.
Nasty habit without gaining weight. Smoke Break. Revolutionary tablet for smokers. Get it now at fine retailers. Hey, I just took a whiz. Why don't they go sell that? Here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Walmart, the store that saves you money on the books it wants you to read, has banned yet another one.
Listen. What? I'm all for your hippie Jane Fonda news style.
Yes.
When I agree with you on politics.
Uh huh.
However.
Yes.
I am all for Walmart taking over everything.
Well, then good luck to you.
And it's okay
with
me. Is it the George Carlin book?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
His new book, When Will Jesus Bring the Pork Chops, is being banned because of its cover, which, as we all know, is the best way to judge a book. The cover features Carlin sitting next to Jesus' empty chair at the Last Supper. Walmart says this would, quote, not appeal to a majority of our customers.
Oh, God.
A spokesman for Carlin points out that the book does not have funny nude pictures, such as one might find in the new John Stewart book.
Right.
Oh, that, come on, don't ban books.
Also banned from Walmart, despite its spot on the bestseller list.
That's the funniest part of the John Stewart
but
book.
But here's the thing.
Here's balance, though.
You can still buy that book anywhere you want.
That's right.
But you cannot buy things as cheap as you can at Walmart.
This is true. That's how they get you.
You just can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading something about... I understand. Listen, I just like Walmart.
I know.
It's cheap, and I like it better
than Target.
But
it's no Target.
I was watching something on one of those financial channels where they had some guy in Taiwan who was making a pen, and this is how Walmart screwed him. They had their pens made by somebody else, and they went to him and they said, if you can make us the same pen... we'll buy 50,000 of them.
Yeah.
Screw buying 10,000 of them. So as the relationship continues, Walmart every year says, we'll continue to buy more pens from you, but you have to knock the price down.
Mm-hmm.
To eventually, 3 years into the relationship, the company that's making the pens says, Walmart wants like 500,000 pens.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Here's the problem. They're going to sell them for 75% of the original price. So what happens is that place goes out of business. Walmart goes to the second pen company and says, hey, remember how you wanted to get on board before?
Right.
Yeah. So I know what's going on with Walmart.
Sure. Okay? Everybody does. But they've got that smiley face.
And you want to give them a big high five for that.
I love that smiley face, though.
Well, Mr. Potter's Target, meanwhile, is running the Salvation Army bell ringers out of town on a rail. Even though the charity's collection kettles are painted that bright Target red, the compassionate panhandlers are being told to move it along.
Get out of my store.
The Salvation Army won't say anything really bad about Target. They say it was time to move into the internet world anyway with a virtual kettle online.
Why don't you go across the street to Walmart?
Although I will say that it does suck that stupid-ass Walmart will ban books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, please.
It's unfortunate.
Well, what is your position, Mr. Geronimo? You're all over the board here.
Mike.
You're a conflicted man.
I'm ruled by my pocketbook.
I understand. That smiley face.
I'm ruled by my purse.
Uh-huh. And that is how they get you.
That's right.
That is a lovely pocketbook. Did you buy that at Walmart?
He got it cheap. Well, the Salvation Army is trying to put the best face on this, saying it was planning on doing a virtual kettle online anyway. Ah, the familiar click, click, click of Christmas. But quoting one Salvation Army official, if this is a pattern that begins to force us to remove the bell ringers from stores, it will eventually disappear, and we're very concerned about that. In Sacramento, for instance, the kettles raised nearly $300,000 last Christmas, and over $65,000 of that was collected outside of Target stores. Not this year.
That's a shame.
Sadly, this is not the reason 52-year-old...
You don't really care, do you?
I don't know why.
You don't.
That's so cruel and heartless, though, with the Christmas season, but...
Yeah.
You know, as long as I can make it into the store without being harassed.
It might have been
what's happened to me today. I think of myself as a compassionate person. It was your whole Walmart speech that did that to me.
They're bad, but I know it.
They're all bad in different ways.
Now I slipped out of my normal persona and got into that whole, you know, speak your mind and be honest thing that you do.
Sadly, this bell ringer decision at Target...
Welcome to this rarefied air, Mike.
Ooh, smells honest up here. The Target decision is not the reason 52-year-old Patrick Tosh of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, drove his car into a Target store, drove around for a while inside, and then drove back out. In a Salvation Army-type Christmas miracle, even with 40 employees in the store, nobody got hurt. And Pat, who says he doesn't remember any of this, was arrested. Police say he had not been drinking and has no history of mental illness. So they've charged him with burglary, reckless driving, receiving stolen property, and criminal mischief, one of which is bound to stick.
Wow.
Another drunk pilot story, this time out of England. At London's Heathrow Airport, they pulled 53-year-old Captain Charles Nichols off a Royal Brunei Airways jumbo jet.
Hello!
About to take off with 170 passengers.
England can kiss my ass.
I've had 1.5 drinks. I'm 100% fine.
Yeah, here's the tape.
Yes. Oh, save it, because it's coming up. I just want to tell you the pilot is accused of preparing to fly with 6 times... the legally allowed amount of alcohol in his blood. And next up, I want to talk about Artie, so play the tape.
Okay.
Telling you guys are all going to jail, and you are all...
Retorn.
...f***ing out of line. Take my alcohol.
You've been arrested for operating a motor vehicle while in the influence
of... I was hit by a taxi.
You need to listen to me, okay?
Let's just let it roll this time to where he says he's had 1.5 drinks.
Oh, sorry, I wasn't out there.
Yeah, oh, no, I was hit by a taxi.
You refused to submit to a taxi.
I won't say anything until you say something.
Well, fortune in
love. I'm not saying... Say
anything. Rip torn.
How many issues is that?
I'm not going to say anything until you say this.
At any trial?
I have witnesses to what I drank. 1.5 drinks.
1.5 drinks. That's all he had.
This footnote about the not guilty verdict in the Rip Torn alleged drunk driving case.
Yes.
Reporters say he was more surprised than we were by the verdict, thanking the jurors with handshakes, kisses, and tears. Quoting his quavering voice,
You are the greatest man in law enforcement.
Yeah, he probably pulled out all the acting stuff. Thank you so much. Quoting Rip, this was the greatest event of my life, to be in the hands of this wonderful jury. I love New York, end quote. A guilty verdict could have put the 73-year-old Emmy-winning actor in jail for a year.
Go to Rotterdam, then you go to Amsterdam, then you go down the road to my city. That's right.
Yeah.
It's a little place called I don't give a damn.
As jurors left the courtroom, the actor stood to salute them with his hand over his heart. He kissed the hands of 2 female jurors as they stepped out of the jury box.
Oh, Artie.
The jury says prosecutors failed to prove that Artie'd been drinking. They say the actor's belligerence on the precinct surveillance video shows him being angry, not drunk. And finally...
Horse hockey, everyone looks good in a cowboy hat.
Drink it! I'll step on your neck.
Oh, you won't even be able to escape election talk by watching SportsCenter. In sports, both Bush and Kerry will be on a special edition of ESPN SportsCenter Monday night on the eve of the election. The half-hour show features sit-down interviews with the candidates about sports. Jim Gray will do the interviews.
Well, you know, that's not bad. That, I was just going to say, if you had, like, Stuart Scott do it.
Right.
Yeah, but if Jim Gray does it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because he's a needler. He's a needler, that guy.
You do a great Jim Gray.
Hey, what's it doing? Like, why are you running for president? Come on, then. Hey, Mr. Kerry, what's the problem? I don't think you're going to make it.
I love Jim.
I don't think you'd be a good president. What do you think, Don?
Finally, this is the point. We do all kinds of silly stories here. This may be the most outrageous ever. In Romania, a father of five.
If you please.
A father of five in Romania who didn't want any more children put on a condom with super glue.
Oh.
Quoting a medical worker, we barely managed to remove it. The humiliation doesn't end there.
Oh, man.
The man says he glued the condom on because it was too big for him. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Well, the door's fake anyway. Santa Claus told us.
Robin fans are coming up next with their spooktacular on WJFK on Live 105 and all on the Buzz in Tampa Bay.
And I don't say things at the end of the week, but I want to say thank you to the Boston Red Sox for the best week of my sports fandom career.
There you go. Agreed. Have a great weekend, everybody. Don't hurt yourself. Love you, Frida. Love you, Bart. We'll be back on Monday with the new episode. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, Don.
Yeah? You can see a picture of Joe in his costume at JoeOranger.com.
Lick the nose.